Wow. You there? There you are.
Sorry about that. My phone, when I plugged my headset in, it knocked me off for some reason.
That's all right.
Don't you love technology? Take the fifth on that
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let me see what I'm doing here.
Good morning. I got the book.
You
Last
did.
night.
Hey. Okay.
I have only looked at it, but wow.
Yeah, it's scary.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it's I think you got it in front of you? I think what I'll do, I mean, I don't want to go into this too much, but since you have a physical copy of it,
Oh,
we
and
could do
by the way, okay, the money orders
No,
are
go,
in the
go.
mail.
Oh, well, obviously I appreciate that.
Well, Becky, for Becky,
We're always
for
poor
Becky,
over here right now.
right, Becky's, for Becky's book, are each of us sent a memoir and a little extra. So there you go.
I definitely need those memoirs. There's no doubt about that.
So it's
If
I was the one holding it up, so she got it done last week.
no, it, if people know that this member, private member organization, private member association, private membership, they got to, A, know what the member is. They got to know that it's biological. They got to know that it has been removed. And they got to know that they can't forget about it. In other words, they have to have knowledge of its existence in order to have the ability to govern it or to include it in the concept of self-governance, because most people don't realize that that piece that has been cut off of them, amputated, removed from them at their port of entry to the world beyond the womb, they don't realize that that's a piece that is not being governed by them any longer. It falls under the due process clause, due process. In other words, it still hasn't been received. It's still something that is due you because you were never delivered in your entirety with your entire godly estate. So that's what the due process clause is all about, is they're saying that they got something to give you to make you whole in order for you to make these decisions. That's the due process clause. But nature doesn't recognize the due process clause because evolutionary process is due process. Evolutionary process is due process. It's just in order. Everything happens in order. You know, from a single cell zygote to a multi-trillion cell entity, that's just cellular subdivision, generational cellular subdivision in order. You're the product, you're the result of all that evolutionary process. And you're still evolving today, hopefully.
Some days I wonder, but hopefully.
Well, I love the, to me, this is the way this book lays out is sort of the way my brain works. I couldn't put everything in there. I couldn't put every definition in there because it would be thousands of pages long. So I had to pick and choose the path that I wanted to take. But let's do this. Let's just look at it. On the front cover, you got a illustration of the zygote. a nice light illustration of the zygote, which is first in time. It's first beyond time. It's the first thing created. It's the first version of your entirety. It is your godly estate, your biological estate in its entirety, all 46 chromosomes and all the information of those chromosomes, all in one single divine divinity, divinity, one divine cell.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there in front, right on the cover for everyone to see. This is your origin right here. Well, that's really hard to even fathom. I mean, really think about this, Linda. I mean, your ability to ponder or contemplate or to think, your entire physicality came out of this one cell.
You know, pretty amazing. I mean, nature.
It's the land. It's the land of your soul.
Yeah.
It's your physical being. It's the entirety of your physical essence, right here. I don't think it's, I can't even fathom that. It's hard for me to think that I, you know, my physicality, my substance began as that single cell and then just started subdividing, resulting in this.
Yeah. I have to put it as miraculous. It's just beyond words, beyond
it,
comprehension.
It's amazing to me. And first in time, I want to be clear about that. That's obviously the title with a subtitle or a specific transcription. I mean, first in time, you got to be careful with that. Because time is relative. I mean, our perspective of time, or my idea of time right now, is it the wristwatch? Is it the calendar? What is it? Is it the here and now?
Right.
Well,
exactly.
Time is a concept that only man feels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our cat doesn't feel the passing of time. I mean, he's looking out from his cat perspective, and he's still seeing things as a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll never see himself and recognize himself and say, hey, look it, my fur is that much whiter or lighter. I'm getting old. He's not thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
Animals don't think like that. We do.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're conscious. We have that ability to think, hopefully.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said we have self-awareness.
Yeah. It's pretty funny to see that starting to happen, you know, in a child where he starts looking in the mirror and
yeah.
kind of starts putting it all together like, hey, every time I move this hand, so does that guy.
Yeah.
That guy in the mirror is doing everything. He's mocking me. He's doing everything I'm doing. And you finally
yep.
start to recognize yep. that image, that reflection is a reflection of where you're at. But we never get that, do we? Really think about this, Linda. When we start looking in the mirror, even as grown people looking in the mirror, most people don't see that reflection.
No.
It's kind of a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. It's kind of a joke.
Yeah. I'm not around mirrors much right now, and so when I look in the mirror, it's kind of horrifying.
Well, I mean, but it is kind of a joke because we attach everything to the image.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're attaching everything to the image because even we look at that image and go, hey, look at him.
Yep.
Look
yep.
at her.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
As if it's separate from us.
Yep. Out there.
But what's really being shown in that mirror, in that reflection, is an image of where we're standing in the present.
Mm-hmm.
just an image. We can change it. You know, I can change my clothes, and the image in the mirror changes its clothes. I get to do everything mm-hmm. right here and now in the present moment, and then the image changes.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do it here in the present is my point. I have to do everything right here standing in front of the mirror in order for the image in the mirror to change too.
Yes.
What does that tell people?
The image is not you.
The image that I project to people is based 100% upon how I act right here and now, right here in front of the mirror. The guy doing everything in front of the mirror projects an image that other people see. If I want that projection, if I want that image to change, then what I'm doing right here now, right here now, right here now has to change.
Yeah.
That's my whole argument about everything. All present and accounted for.
Yeah.
Right here now. If you don't like the way people are acting around you, maybe you look in that image and you go, wow, look at the clothes that I'm projecting. Look at what I'm projecting to people. This is how people see me, because I'm looking at it right here myself. I don't like what I see.
Yeah.
Do something about it, but you got to do something about it right here now. If you don't like your holy pants, you can change the image by changing where you are right now by putting on a different pair of pants. Or if you want to change into holy pants, you do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're controlling everything, how people respond to us, just by the image.
Yeah.
But the whole point is that the image is only a reflection of the real. The representation is a reflection of the real.
Yeah.
And even more than that, the image that we see from the mirror that's bouncing back to our eyeballs is actually in the past. To the recipient. You okay over there?
Yeah, sorry. I had to adjust my headset. So
you're right.
Now I'm
you're wrestling
I'm
with your
crackling.
Image?
I'm wrestling with my image. And I think I lost.
The whole idea is that first in time, it requires reality first. If I'm standing in front of the mirror, and the mirror only is a reflection of what is at my point, my coordinates in space, I don't think people understand what I'm about to say. That's why I'm going to say it again. I'm standing in front of the mirror. Actually, I am. I'm standing about 5 feet from the mirror. I am about 5 feet from the mirror. Let me say that again. I am about 5 feet from the mirror. So the reflection 5 feet away from me is not I am.
No.
If I'm standing 5 feet from the mirror, then the image reflected is not I am. Because A, in space, it's 5 feet away from me. And B, in time, it takes the amount of time for the image, my image, to reach the mirror and come back to me. So what I'm looking at in the mirror, there's a passing of time and space. My I am-ness is where I am in space. I'm moving across my living room floor now. I am now 15 feet from the mirror. Now I am here 15 feet from that image. I'm further away. And the further away I get from that mirror, I am now about 25 feet from the mirror. So the image right now, we can't detect it because light travels so fast, but I'm about 25 feet away from that projection, from that image, 25 feet. Now, I can't detect the difference. What's really weird, and I'm not sure if I'm seeing this correctly, Linda, as I discuss this, I'm going to say that light travels at such a speed that I shouldn't be able to detect any differences in the image that I'm looking at 25 feet away from me and where I am. I am here in the present 25 feet away from the image, 25 feet physically away from the image in space, in time, because light travels at X. The image that I'm receiving in my eyes 25 feet away is even older than the image 5 feet away.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You see what I'm getting at?
Yep.
I'm going to say something that I've never noticed before. At 25 feet away, I'm moving my hand right here, right in front of my chest. I'm moving my hand in front of my chest, and I'm looking at the image and the hand motion, the hand movement 25 feet away from me. My eyes can detect the difference.
Wow.
Because I can feel my hand moving in real, in first position, right here, right now. I can feel the movement, and you know what I mean? I know where I'm located in time and space, standing 25 feet away from the mirror, and I'm telling you right now, my hand, my image in the mirror, I can see it moving after my hand is moving.
Wow.
You know what? There's a test right there that scientists should be picking up on. If I can detect it in real time, 25 feet away from a mirror, I can actually see the difference. I don't care how minute that fraction is. I can see my hand moving in the mirror after the fact, in the past. It's pretty weird to detect that.
I can.
And the further away I get from the image,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the greater it would become obvious.
Mm-hmm.
That's important because think about coming out of the womb, leaving a piece of you behind physically. When they clamp and cut the cord and they take a piece of your biology, a piece of your godly estate, and they leave it back there. You get wrapped up in the swaddling clothes and you go home with mom and dad, but that piece of you stays where it is in time and space. Until it physically moves to another place, it doesn't have the capability of its own movement. It has to be moved.
Yeah.
But also a record of that arrival, of that material, which comes out at a separate point typically, or it comes out detached. What do? They mark that point in time and space where that piece of you fell, where it fell, Linda. Fell meaning where it was cut, where it fell. Yep. The fallen angel, the fallen man, I don't care. The fallen angel is the part that they left behind, that you left behind. The fallen man is the beginning, the birthday for the heathen on the land. That's the fallen man. So the fallen angel is the piece he left behind because it's innocent, it's completely pure, it never entered this world. And then the fallen man is the one that comes out of mom as the baby, becomes the man on the land, but he's fallen because he's disconnected from God, from his godly origin. And the further away we get, the greater the gap.
Yeah.
So Curtis Richard Kallenbach, the title given to that event, to that fall, is September 19th, 1960 at 3:50 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a record and it's a Gregorian calendar record. Mm-hmm. It's a civil calendar record.
Yeah.
It's the historical record. It's his story. Because mm-hmm. the piece they cut off, the piece they left behind there, created a third person. Him, his life, his situation. Him, not me, him. So now there's a piece of you that's considered a third person or third party. Him. And he is in his story.
Yeah.
And that's the birth certificated character. It's the image that has been left behind, the piece of you. The piece of you that was cut off, it was literally your body. The body, the rest, residue, and remainder of your biology. They amputated it.
Yeah.
That's why the cover of this book, the book First in Time, is biological. It's the zygote itself. Now, in the womb, Linda, they didn't even, there was no calendar record of you in existence. You were in front of the record because the record begins with the birth certificate. That's the paper record, the record of man, the historical record. It begins with the paper, the calendar. But inside the womb, there was no paper. There was no calendar. There was no time. The historical record, you enter with the birth certificated character. But you're not party to that historical record in the womb.
Mm-mm.
In fact, there's no name for you. The moment of creation, there's no name for you. It's all biological. It's all genetic. That zygote doesn't have a name yet. So think about that. The moment you were created, the moment I was created, there was no Kurt. There was no Curtis. There was no Curtis Richard. There was no Curtis Richard Kallenbach. There was no Curtis R. Curtis R. period. There was none of that existed.
Mm-hmm.
There was only I am. There was only my biological kingdom. But it existed at fertilization. This stuff is so necessary to know. Because yeah. What happens if you don't recognize, this is going to go right back to that mirror, Linda. If I don't know that I am present and that the piece of me that was cut off, because of the knowledge of the piece cut off, it too is present. If I forget about it, if I leave it behind, if I require a mnemonic device to help me remember, then that, what do I have to do? I rely on that image. I rely on that record, the record.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've like tethered myself. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, when I feel into that image of that, it's like I'm actually literally projecting myself into the image out there, and I forget that I'm even here in real body. I'm lost in that world of images and records. And
The image again. The representation, the representation, the representative character, the birth certificated person is a representation.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny is the further away I get from the mirror, there's still that image over there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now I'm 64 plus years away from that image.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, that's not true. I don't care about that image. Because all of me is all present. I'm going to go back to the 25 feet away from the mirror. I'm walking out that far right now. I'm now 25 feet away from the mirror. And yet, I'm still all present and accounted for from fertilization, that zygote, that front cover, to this moment, to my last breath being an inspiration or inhale, so I'm still present. Mm-hmm. The image that I'm pointing at right now is 25 physical feet away from me. Why do I care about what's back there? Why do I care about that image? Well,
if I know who I am, I don't.
Right, because I'll be fully present. And if I know about my true godly origin, then that presence goes all the way back to the zygote. It goes all the way back to that first moment of existence. My presence mm-hmm. of mind, all present and mm-hmm. accounted for. That means mind, body, mm-hmm. and spirit. I'm all present in this moment, I'm in this spot, these coordinates in space and time. I'm all present. Well, how can you say that, Kurt? Because all of my biology is present in this form. I've evolved from my first form, which is the zygote, but I have the what? The mind, the memory, the knowledge that carries all the way back to that first moment of creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I govern with this mind, with this knowledge. I'm able to govern myself all the way from that moment to this moment. I don't leave any piece of me to be governed by some other organization that I've inadvertently forgot about, that I left somewhere back there. Not a true statement. My knowledge carries all the way back to this single cell, which is the creative moment, which is where innocence begins. So my innocence begins at fertilization, and it goes all the way to my last breath. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, "This spiritual man shall be judged by no man," meaning as long as I'm breathing, as long as I'm filled with the spirit, the breath, I'm not to be judged by another man. So the only way I can be judged by another man is if I'm not present. If I take or wear the fiction, take on the burden of the fiction, the image. So that's why the zygote is on the cover. And by the way, it says first in time. Well, guess what? You've said this numerous times too, but the zygote, the first moment of your existence is that single cell. It's a singularity that's all you. It's all me, baby. It's all me. And then, from that moment, I land in the uterine wall, but I'm still whole. What I'm getting at is whatever happens after that moment of creation is after that moment of creation. I'm first. I'm first into the uterine wall. I'm the only in the uterine wall in my situation. When I come out of mom, there's no evidence other than that fetal-maternal placenta, that birthday cake. There's no evidence that anybody else was there but me. But they destroy the evidence that evidences that I'm the one that has a right-of-way over that property. Now I have to do what? I have to go talk to people about who owns this biology, this godly estate, this one that I'm using, and did I have a right-of-way? Do I have a right-of-way? Is there somebody else that's laying claim to my mom's biology? Is there somebody else laying claim to the uterine wall indirectly or directly? You know what? It doesn't matter in nature. In nature, it's just me and mom. That's the whole thing. Somebody inserted themselves. Somebody inserted their organization. Somebody inserted their beliefs between the moment of creation and where I am now. They inserted themselves. It's an imposition. It's an imposition, and I don't need it. The law of nature and nature's God already got it, has me here. I don't need anybody's idea of due process. I am due process, evolutionary due process, right here talking to you.
Yep.
Okay.
Huh. Do you know what the definition of imposition is in etymology?
What is it?
Late 14th century, tax, duty, tribute. That's the first definition of it. And then its root is...
What was the first word? What was the first word?
A, tax, duty, tribute.
Spell it. I can't hear you. Spell it.
T-A-X, a tax.
Oh, a tax.
Mm-hmm.
A tax. Okay, a tax.
A duty or tribute.
Well, that might be a good place to go today.
And then it says, it's from the past participle impondere, which is to place upon. Into and pondere is to put or to place. The act of putting something on something else.
Putting something on something else.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That sounds like the fetal maternal placenta, where it looks mm-hmm. like if you take on that character, you're either burdened with carrying the other biology, the other born alive person, which is a product of conception, which is the accretion, the uterine accretion, the uterine wall accretion. I don't want to carry that. That's not mine to carry. I love you, Mom, but that biology, it was a right of way. I have a right of way over it, but I don't need to carry it.
No. So impose from the late 14th century is to lay, and in parentheses, a crime, duty, obligation, etc., to the account of, from Old French, imposer, put, place, impute, charge, accuse. From the assimilated form of in, into, plus poser, to put or place. From the 1500s, it's to apply authoritatively. Sense of to lay on a burden, inflict by force or authority. First recorded in 1580. Wow.
That's just from an imposition.
That's from the imposition I clicked on impose. That part was impose, the second part I just read.
Right. Well, and that's why the cover of this is right off the bat. It's evidencing your existence at the moment of creation. That's it. There is no one else but you.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, remember there's still the what? There's still a membrane, a mom's membrane around that at the moment of creation for the first 5 days or so. That pellucid membrane is mom. Think about it's like a baby blanket. Mom's still covering the new biology, which is inside of that, the new. So there is a new entity inside of that pellucid membrane, but the pellucid membrane is considered the zygote's skin, the zygote's first skin.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you this because of what you just said. It is something somebody sent to me, and I had to look it up to make sure it was true. But it says, the headline is, I'm sorry, what?
Go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
Go ahead, continue on the thread that you're on.
It's just something that somebody sent to me that if the world is now trying to be run by health organizations, health,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter which one. I don't care what it is, but the concept of health, which implies that you're not healthy, which you're not if you're cut. If you're cut apart then you're not. You're disabled. Yeah. You have a disability because of the cut. So you're already looked at as diseased. So that's not healthy. Healthy is whole, W-H-O-L-E. Mm-hmm. My point is that there's this title. The title of this is Louisiana Senate unanimously passes bill banning the United Nations, World Health Organization, and World Educational Forum from controlling the state. Louisiana.
Well.
And I want to go into at least a little bit of this today after we cover a little bit of the book, but because you're considered diseased because of the cut, because you're not whole. And now you need other administrators to put you, Humpty, back together with you, Dumpty, when you fall off the wall, the uterine wall.
Yeah.
And they're saying that their administrative process, due process, I may add, their administrative process is how they make you whole. But when they make you whole, they also add a piece of mom to that equation. So now they make you whole. Thank you very much for making me whole. But then you added this burden. You added this extra. And that extra is what you're talking about right now. What was the word?
Imposition and impose.
It's an imposition. Yeah, the maternal part of the placenta becomes an imposition. Mm-hmm. And you were going to say you found something that went along those lines again.
I lost it. Oh no, it was. I was going to ask about the picture itself on the front of the.
Okay, book. So what do you see when you're looking at it? What are you looking at?
There's in the middle of it. It's the drawing that I was looking at. So there's a blue, light blue, kind of circle, and then inside of that, there is a circle, darker blue that it's edged on two sides by black lines. And then inside of that is a smaller circle. And then inside of that is two little circles. And beside those, within the, there's two little kind of triangle-ishly shaped things on the side of the last inner circle, the larger inner circle. So my question is, I'm assuming the black lines with the blue.
No.
Okay.
I gave my illustrator a picture of a zygote.
Mm, and this is what she
did. And she made it look like this, because I wanted it to be a watercolor of your origin, and this is what it turned out to be. I don't, unless I actually have the picture in front of me again, I don't know. That's my answer to what you're about to ask. I don't know. I mean, I see where you're going, where there's edges and black lines delineating from the dark blue, from the light blue. I got all that, but realistically, it's her interpretation of a zygote. So this is the zygote. In spite of whatever line you're seeing, I mean, even the blue outside edge of the zygote itself, which differentiates from the white cover, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
I don't know. Okay. So, again, I just think this is a really pretty nice, simple interpretation. You could probably go find a zygote somewhere online and just look at the parts and go, oh, okay, now I see what it is. But
I
wanted to caution people on it. I don't want people to start to tear that apart and go, oh, there's the pellucid membrane. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
know. And that's why I asked
each of those.
Yeah, that's why I asked the question to clarify.
Yeah, I don't want people. But that's what happens. People will take this and they'll do something and they'll make up more shit. It's too simple. This is a zygote. Mm-hmm. Done. Well, what about the, I don't care about that. This is the zygote. Simple. That's why I'm trying to, we need to let go of all, first of all, people just do this shit to argue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
mm-hmm.
telling you right now, what I've learned is that I don't care about your opinions. I don't care about anything you believe to be true. All I'm saying is this right here is a representation of the zygote. I don't care what you think about the picture. I don't care what anybody thinks about the picture.
Well, this I'm interpreting this as I don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm. Don't care about people's interpretations. When I say something or when I say this is the zygote, that's it. That's the end of the problem, if there are any. Because you can make up whatever you want. Same with first in time. See, to me, first in time, the reason I put the zygote on there, I know the zygote's not even in time.
Right.
This is the whole point. This is how I think. So I'm putting something that exists in front of time to evidence that I'm in front of time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that happens in their clock, in their world, happens after me doing it.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm standing in front of the mirror, I do something before the image occurs.
Yep.
So everything about time, everything in the construct of time, the record itself, is not the present. If you're deciding to subject yourself to the record, are we off the record? Are we on the record? If you're subjecting yourself to the record, that's the past.
Yeah.
The only I am is in front of the record. I am standing in front of the mirror. I am moving in front of the image. I exist prior to the image, to the representation.
Perfect.
The zygote exists before the record.
Mm-hmm.
So if they call the record time, I exist in front of time. And everything in time or frozen in time via record is subsequent. It comes after me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I good. Have to exist before their character can exist. So if there is anything first about their character, I'm it. You know, I existed before Curtis Richard Kallenbach existed.
Yeah.
And if they created Curtis Richard Kallenbach off of some piece of me that they combined with some piece of mom, a composition of matter, 35 USC 101, if that's where this character is coming from, if it's coming from the Madonna and Child or Jesus and Mary, hey, they're trying to assume that I'm willing to keep let a piece of me become part of their story, his story. But that's a hell of a presumption, because that presumption on their part causes me a lot of grief. Hell, it destroys me in the present, because it presumes my presence to be the energy of their story, my presence.
Right.
So I have to sacrifice my own existence, my own presence, in order for their character to exist. I have to sacrifice myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because there can't be two. There can't be a piece of Kurt and a piece of mom that becomes the third person, third party, tertium quid. There can't be that.
Well,
because there can be only one of me.
Yeah, if we go back to the image in the mirror, when you walk away from the mirror, the image isn't there anymore. It doesn't exist.
So I have to exist before the reflection, the interpretation, the image can exist. The image cannot exist
and
without my substance, without me.
Exactly. And as soon as you're not in front of the mirror, the image no longer exists. So as soon as I say, know who I am, all that other can't exist. I mean, it's as simple as you walk away from the mirror and the image is gone. You walk back to the mirror, the image is back there. Does that make sense?
Also, the only thing I'm doing by facing the image, is I'm looking backwards.
Yes.
I'm not looking ahead. I'm not moving forward in time if I turn my back on the present. If I turn back to look at the image, this is so obvious. If I turn and look at the image in the mirror, what's behind the image in the mirror? What's if I see an image of me, what's behind me? In the mirror.
The future, the whatever.
No, what's behind me is behind me.
Yeah, what's behind you is behind you. Yeah.
So in order for me to deal with that image, which way is it facing?
It's facing what's behind you.
Right. So in order for me to use the image, what do I have to deal with? The past.
What's behind me? Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm already in front of it. I'm already ahead of it. Why do I want to deal with an image that's looking only at what's behind me? And the reason you know that is because you'll look in the image and you can see what's behind you. And it's looking that direction. It's going backwards. I don't need to return back there. I don't need that revolutionary annual celebration. I don't need to keep going backwards. There's only one direction for life, for vitality. Yeah. It's forward. And they got us dealing with nothing but the past.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So the reason, again, first in time, I have to exist, and I do exist. I exist for 9 months-ish before the image is created, before the birth certificated character is created, before that birth certificated child is born. I already exist. Why do you think they're trying to capture all the biometrics? They even used the word biometric.
Yep.
They didn't say biology here, put your biological thumbprint here. No, it's a biometric because they've already placed your biology on deposit and they used the metric system to weigh it. So now they have a metric, an international metric, that correlates with your biology. But there's no name for that. All they need is the thumbprint. There's no name for you at fertilization. You don't have a name. So now they're able to capture you through a biometric that they have on the record. So now it looks like you're participating by giving your body over to science. Your body over to the bankers as surety. Your body over to that world.
Over there.
Over there. Over there. Anyway, I just want to read this icky. I sent it to you, but it's really, really amazing. At the verbiage. You didn't get it?
Yeah. You might have sent it to the...
I didn't send it. I put the message together, but I never sent it. So hang on a second.
I distracted.
You did, and you're good at that.
I know. Look over here, Kurt.
B-A-N. So I'm gonna just this just does ban. That's all it is. So I'm gonna copy this, and I'm gonna. Where are you here? There it is. And this is pretty amazing for those people that have been around this stuff for a while. Tell me when you get it. Let me read the headline again. It says, Louisiana Senate unanimously passes bill banning UN, WHO, and WEF, WHO and WEF from controlling state. Bans the United Nations, the World Health Organization, and World Economic Forum from controlling the state. Louisiana unanimously passes bill. Louisiana Senate unanimously. Now, it goes on to say, did you get it?
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it.
Okay, look. I want you to see the verbiage because it's everything I talk about. And they're pointing it out right here. It says, in a unanimous vote, the Louisiana Senate passed Senate Bill 133 to create a legal barricade against a globalist takeover by the United Nations, the World Health Organization, and the World Economic Forum. So Louisiana, those Cajuns, Louisiana. It goes on to say, co-authored by Republican State Senators Valerie Hodges and Thomas A. Period Presley, as well as State Representative Kathy Edmondson, the bill blocks the UN, the WHO, and the WEF from having any jurisdiction or authority within the state boundaries of Louisiana. Look what they're doing. It says the World Health Organization, United Nations, and World Economic Forum shall have no jurisdiction or power within the state of Louisiana. Now, it says the bill reads. You can go to the bill. So I'm reading it from a questionable site. That's all I'm going to say. You have the link, but I don't know whether it's valid or not, but I'm reading verbatim. So it says the bill reads, and here it is. I went to the bill, by the way. So this is verbatim. It says no rule, regulation, fee, tax, policy, or mandate of any kind of the World Health Organization, United Nations, and World Economic Forum shall be enforced or implemented by the state of Louisiana or any agency, department, board, commission, political subdivision, governmental entity of the state, parish, municipality, or any other political entity. Look at that. No rule. There's the cut.
Yeah.
Regulation. There's the cut. Fee. There's the cut. Tax. There's the cut. Policy. There's the cut. Or mandate. There's the cut. If I look into every one of those words, I can link it back to that measure, that piece of biology that was removed violently through an act of mayhem and then taken away. Carried away, larceny, allowed to die, Linda, genocide.
Yep.
Right now, Louisiana is the only state I know of that's done this, but it says no rule, regulation, fee, tax, policy, or mandate. Those are all the cut. All different words for the same damn measure. It says shall be enforced or implemented by the state of Louisiana. There it is. The first of the 48 lower contiguous lower 48 states is now left behind the cut.
Wow.
And they're hiding it, though. They're making it look like it's because of the vaccine or whatever. It says, just say no to globalist overreach is the next line. It says, the bill came out in the aftermath of the Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic, which we now know was a power grab by the UN, the WHO, and the WEF. Speaking about its implications, Senator Hodgins, who represents Louisiana's District 13, the 13th month, the 13th warrior, the 13th character, whatever, told the media that it's high time to protect Louisianians from the destructive overreach of globalist entities. We have watched a horror story unfold in front of us as time has shown that the recommendations and coercive regulations from outside organizations such as the WHO have harmed hundreds of thousands of Americans. So it says, citing concerns about the safety of COVID vaccines, in parentheses, and the influence of these globalist bodies in pushing them, Hodges added the Louisiana legislators want to decouple. That's an interesting choice of words. Decouple. Mm-hmm. Jesus and Mary, they're decoupling the state from outside influences. There it is, outside the excessive maternal biology.
Mm-hmm.
The excessive. Remember that the zygote evidences your biology, all 46 chromosomes in a single cell. Then, of course, they cut a piece of you off and they mix it or allow it to be what? Diluted or confused or confounded with mom's biology, creating a third party or third person. That third party, third person is, I'm going to go back up to their first paragraph, is a rule, is a regulation, is a fee, is a tax, is a policy, is a mandate. That measure cut off of you. is what they're using to pull you into these international situations. And Louisiana is saying, no, I don't think we're going to use that. No. We're not going to force that measure upon people anymore. Look at this. Anyway, so you can read that as you go, but I thought it was interesting that the word rule, regulation, fee, tax, policy, and mandate, I can go right through those right there, and I can evidence that they all go back to the particular end. All of them. No rule, no regulation, no fee, no tax. All those words go right back to the measure, the cut, the fee, the tax, the policy. So somebody, a state, Louisiana, has now stepped up and said no. Anyway, so back to the book. Here's what's interesting. Again, I can look at this cover to me and say, right there, that the zygote, because of its existence, 280 days, 9 months, whatever, you know what I mean? Whatever you want to call it, because I exist prior, I'm a priori, I'm in front of the record, the public record. I'm in front of it. I exist before the public record. No, you don't, Kurt. The public record exists before you. It does not. The public record is a record, a record. But it's a record of something that exists in reality. I exist before the record, before any creation of some character, some civil character born to some Gregorian calendar. I exist prior to that. And if they hadn't cut a piece of me off, if they haven't, through an act of mayhem, cut a piece of me off and placed it on deposit, giving rise to a piece of paper for that deposition. In other words, it becomes a certificate of deposit, so to speak. The birth certificate is a certificate of deposit. Think about that.
Well,
it's a COD.
So something has to
COD. It's a COD.
Yeah.
It's a COD. Yeah. It's a COD to be what? Caught by fishers of men.
Right. Yeah.
It's
fish. Got it. It's a fish.
It's a COD.
A
it's a COD to be caught by fishers of men. By the way, COD is in this book.
Wow.
What I'm saying is that we can cover a little bit of this now. I'm gonna go upstairs because I don't have to look at the computer, I don't think, anymore. It's a pacific transcription, meaning that it's from my pacifist position that all violence, that no violence is acceptable, and of course violence itself, the clamping and cutting, the vivisection, the cutting of the cord, is a violent act against the innocent newborn. The act of violence, not even talking about circumcision, which is mutilation. This shit's got to stop. This religious shit's got to stop.
Yeah.
These superstitions and these beliefs are the things that are causing all the grief in the world. You know what? There's no squirrel outside right now is worried, was ever worried about the sun disappearing yesterday.
Mm-mm.
They're not interested in what's happening at CERN. Oh, Kurt, CERN is really dangerous. No, it isn't. It's more pseudoscience so they can extract more money from you. Just like the NASA, just like the space program, it's all just to take tax money from you so you can believe that people go to the moon. The squirrels out here, the trees out here, they don't give a shit about any of this nonsense. They don't care about jurisdictions because there aren't any, there are no jurisdictions in nature. Do you think that if I was able to capture a squirrel and in a cage and bring it up to 13 miles north to Wisconsin, if I deposited this squirrel over the state line, that it would panic?
No.
Well, oh, damn it. Now I'm in the...
No, I'm in the jurisdiction.
Now I have different state taxes up in Wisconsin. I'm gonna suffer other state taxes. Wisconsin's communist.
No.
Do you think that's what the squirrel would be thinking as soon as I cross the state lines?
No.
I'm in a different tax bracket up here.
No.
Nope. That's why first in time. It negates. Remember, 22 USC 288B, the United States Code. When the owner arrives in connection with his bags in effect, there is no duty to perform, like a monkey, you know, at the court. Hey, the music's playing. You're supposed to be dancing. Hey, you over there, bailiff. He's not dancing.
Better poke him. better
Point.
Put some more fear in him so he'll dance.
So.
We want our supplementals.
Again, when the owner arrives in connection with his bags in effect, there is no duty to perform. And there is no IRS, there is no tax. When the owner, the baby, arrives in connection with, well, there's your umbilical cord, his baggage and effects, there's the afterbirth, there's the fetal maternal afterbirth, there's the placenta that's attached to to your umbilical, because part of the placenta is your biology. If you allow somebody to clamp and cut that biology and leave it behind to be found later to be used in scientific experiments, like they, you know, like spraying over your head or fluoride in the water or mercury in your mouth through amalgams, all of those scientific experiments on animals, you're allowing all of that to happen because you don't know that creation, that zygote evidence is your direct link to God, and you've, by golly, you've turned your back on God, and you've chosen the image of God, the mirror image, rather than the whole estate, which is that zygote. Now, I'm going to go to the back cover, because I think this is amazing. This tells the whole story. So you got creation, the zygote, the product of fertilization is the zygote, and that's your divinity. It evidences both vines, the vine of dad and the vine of mom. That's why it's divine in your divinity. It has those two vines combined into one godly estate, the zygote. That zygote, at that moment of creation, is surrounded by the pellucid membrane, which has mom's biology. But it's considered the baby's skin, so it's considered the property of the baby, actually, of the new entity. Think about that. Think about this. This is so subtle. So dad's sperm, 40 or 23 chromosomes from your dad, the building materials arrives from your dad in the form of sperm. And then what? They arrive in the waters of mother, and they are what? They are moving towards that single cell from mom.
Mm-hmm.
But that single cell for mom has a membrane surrounding it.
Mm-hmm.
When the sperm penetrates the membrane to fertilize the ovum, mom's 23 chromosome building materials, the new cell within, which is your 46 chromosome zygote, still has mom's pellucid membrane surrounding it. But think about it. That original package, that whole package created, is all one. Even the Roman Catholic Church says, that's the skin of the zygote. The pellucid membrane is the skin of the zygote. That sounds like property. That sounds like a property claim. Think about that. So dad's sperm fertilizes mom's ovum. Everything about that ovum now changes into that singularity, the zygote, but then there still remains this outer coat, this technicolor dream coat, this outer part of what mom gave you, but it's not mom's. It's now part of your existence, part of your singularity.
Yep.
For the first 5 days. And then what do? You shed that skin. You shed the skin, that pellucid membrane, just prior to what? Implantation into the uterine wall. So you take off your coat. Hey, take off your coat and stay a while, Linda. You take off your jacket.
Thank you very much.
You take off your coat, that you take off that skin just prior to doing what? To implanting into the uterine wall.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But you were wearing that skin for the first 5 days while you were floating in the waters of mother. Now what happens? You implant into the uterine wall. If you go to I don't know the page numbers yet. It doesn't matter. The idea is on a back cover. There's a biological drawing, and it shows implantation, where the zygote plants into the uterine wall and does what? Part of your biology interfaces with part of mom's biology. But the part of your biology is still your property. It's still your biology. It doesn't become mixed with mom's. It interfaces with mom's. It's like plugging in a lamp to a wall socket. You're plugged in to receive what mom will be giving you for the next so many months, supplying you with life, making sure that you make it all the way to the new world beyond the womb.
Yep.
She's your support system. She gives you the oxygen. She gives you the nutrients. She removes all the waste material through that piece of ground, that accretion that is designed specifically for you, and you alone, by the way, nobody else, not the public, Linda. That stuff mom did wasn't for the public. She did it specifically for you and you alone, and you have a right of way over that. Was there anybody in the wall of the uterus before you?
Nope.
I mean, So what mom prepared, the ground mom prepared for you, is for you and you alone.
Yes.
Did anybody show up after you? Did anybody show up and share that space with you?
No.
Okay, so it's not a shared space either. It is 100% private.
Yeah.
It's personal and private.
Yeah.
And by the way, you don't stay in the womb forever. You're just passing through, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a resident.
Yeah.
You're just a resident of the womb for a while. You don't live there. You're not a hobbit living underground in the uterine wall.
No.
The point is that you're just passing through the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a residency. The reason I bring that up is because what is considered the deposit into the In God We Trust is trust res, R-E-S, the subject matter of a trust. Res, identity.
Mm-hmm.
That's the uterine wall is a residency. And mm-hmm. only the resident can identify with that place. So when they clamp and cut the cord, the only thing they have on deposit evidences this implantation, the top picture on the back of the book.
Yeah.
It evidences the interface between you, the baby, and mom's uterine wall.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the placenta is. The placenta is a fetal maternal organ evidencing that connection, that interface.
Yes.
And it's part your biology and part mom's. But when baby comes out, that piece is still attached to the uterine wall. And then it comes out and everybody goes, oh, look at this mess. Look at this mass.
Mm-hmm.
Mass, M-A-S-S.
Yep.
Look at this bio
mass.
Mm-hmm.
All the words are out.
Little bit of baby. What's that?
They're using all those words out there. No, wait, no.
They are. But nobody sees them as being dangerous because they don't link the idea of an organ, a donation, an organ donation includes this biology.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, only through deception. Don't get me wrong. It's deceptive practices all the way, but it is deceptive in its very makeup. You know, how can we get the entire population to back up our banking system? Well, we'll just take their name, we'll take their legitimacy, we'll place it on deposit. And only those that can figure this shit out will actually have ownership over their output, ownership over their lives. Everybody else will be held in trust. And we'll be the managers of the trust. We'll be the ones managing or administrating the trust res ident, which is the afterbirth, which is the placenta, the resident.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the resident is the only one that's taxed.
Yeah.
Where do you reside? Well, the birth certificated person resides in the uterine wall, still attached to mother. It's called a record. You're recorded, you're reattached to the uterine wall, also known as the matrix. So if you're following some organization or following some group of people telling you how to get out of the matrix, I'm telling you right now, you're not in the matrix. If you're listening to this call, you're old enough to understand what I'm saying, and you're still not in mom's uterine wall. You're still not attached to mom's uterine wall. So the matrix is a joke because you're not attached anymore. Kurt, how do we get out of the matrix? Well, step one is to know that you're not in it. But
to really
the afterbirth,
know that.
To truly know it, to truly know it.
Yeah.
How do we get out of the matrix? How do we, my favorite question and my least liked question is one and the same. How do we operate? What are you, a surgeon?
That's what my thought was.
How do we operate in the system? How do you operate? Well, Kurt, how do you go get a bread at the store? How do you operate? I don't operate. I get in my truck, I drive to the store, I buy the bread, and I come home. Yeah, but you're using Federal Reserve notes, so you're operating somebody else's. No, I'm not. Who says I am? Who says I'm operating? That's a claim. You want to tell me that I'm operating in something? Prove it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, even the United States is not your enemy. The Vatican is not your enemy. You're your own worst enemy. Everybody out there claiming this farce, this birth certificated character, that evidence is a duplicity, a insane claim. And again, how do you operate in that system? I'm not in it. You got to stop believing all these patriot organizations out there, all of these people telling you that you need to change your status. From what? Aren't you already living? Aren't you already inspired?
Mm-hmm. I know.
You're not supposed to be judged by another man according to their Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Christians are not your enemy. They might think they are. The enemy. I'm not joking here. There are no enemies to truth.
No.
Once you realize they're all wrong, and I mean all of them, they're all wrong.
Yeah.
And,
anyway, back to the cover. Look what it says there. It shows a picture of your biology merging into a single spot, taking a seat. Hey, take a seat, Kurt. Yeah, you too, Linda. Take a seat. Seat. Situation. Situs. There it is right there. You're looking at it. You're sitting in or embedded. Hey, you made your bed. Now you have to lie in it. You're embedded in the wall of the uterus, but only for a period of time. Not your whole life. Unless you keep claiming the birth. You realize that you're looking at the birth right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking at the implantation, that's the birth. That's the birth.
B-E-R-T-H.
It's your first impression. You can never make your first impression twice, can you? It says right there above it, the caption above it says, fixing the point of one's uterine wall implantation conception via historical record. The historical record fixes that point because it only identifies the biology that comes out after the second coming biology, the second coming, literally the second coming. They call it afterbirth.
Mm-hmm.
It identifies this material because the concept of born alive is what? The product of conception. The product of conception, conception being implantation, the only thing produced at conception, the only thing produced at conception, which is implantation, is what?
The accretion, the mother's.
The mother's biology.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because that's what, when implantation, that's what's set up to let you be a resident there for 9 months and grow. It gives you the nutrients, what's needed to form the baby that comes out later.
Right, which existed. It was a pre-existing situation.
Yep,
you existed before you planted into the uterine wall, so the uterine wall accretion is secondary to your existence.
Absolutely. It has to be.
First in time.
It just logically has to be.
First in time.
First in time. If something's going to implant, it has to be exist before it implants. Something has to exist before, in order to even do the action of implanting.
So is it even possible? I mean, I already know the answer. You know the answer. But is it even possible that the record, the birth record, has anything to do with your creation, your existence?
No, impossible.
It doesn't have anything to do with creation. The birth record has absolutely nothing to do with the zygote, with the moment you were created. And
exactly.
I'm telling you right now, if religious people don't get that, what the hell are you celebrating? What are you celebrating if not creation, God's creation, nature's creation? What are you actually celebrating if you're not celebrating reality? You're celebrating an idea that man came up with. That's what you're celebrating. And I'm pretty sure that that's contrary to God. It says fixing the point of one, the point of one's, go ahead.
I looked up the word wrong in etymology, W-R-O-N-G.
Yeah.
And it says twisted, crooked rye. And then it goes down into German and Dutch, and it says sour bitterly, literally that which distorts the mouth. And it is from a variant called to turn or to bend. So, and right is this, that's with a straight line. It's straight. So I just thought that was interesting.
So wrong says to turn.
Mm-hmm. To turn and to bend.
Well, what does, I'm going to go to etymology on my phone, and I'm going to go to attorn, A-T-E-O-R-N. Let me see what it says. There it is. To attorn says late 13th century, to turn over to another, to turn to, or assign, attribute, dispose of. To turn. So a turn and to turn. To turn something is what? It makes it wrong.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So attorneys, the word a turn itself is to turn, which is a wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A wrong turn. To turn over to another. To turn over to another. To a turn is to turn over to another. Can I realistically turn over my origin and my biology to another?
No. Not in reality.
Not realistically. And I mean, that would be some form of indenture. I don't know anybody that would actually do this unless they knew what they were getting out of it. I mean, there were servitudes, indentured servitudes, for people that got on boats to come over here. They would work for somebody for X amount of time and then pay off the debt of the travel, the boat, the ship travel to get here. And once that was paid off, they were done and they got to go on their own. But I have a funny feeling that there's an indenture here that nobody ever really gets out from under, and that's to travel on mom's boat. I think we've all somehow found ourselves to become indentured servants to whoever's claiming the mothership, directly or indirectly. If somebody's claiming the mothership and they're saying, listen, you never paid mom for your trip here, well, that's not an agreement where there's anybody but me and mom or nature. I mean, once a man gets involved, once a man starts saying, listen, you got to do this, well, again, the burden of proof is on the claimant. So whoever's claiming that I have a servitude over some ground, you know, that accretion or that piece strip of land or whatever, if they're saying I have a servitude over that accretion, that maternal uterine wall accretion, if they're saying I have a servitude, you know, no, I don't. I have a right of way. But I certainly don't have a servitude. And with, again, res sua nemini servit, no one can have a servitude over his own land, his own property. Well, so I can't have a servitude over my own biology, but you can't look at the fetal maternal placenta and say I have a servitude over that ground either, because I have a right of way. In nature, I have a right of way over it. And I existed prior. I existed before that ground, before that land was created for me. Res sua nemini servit. No one can have a servitude over his own property. No one.
No one.
I just chased the black cat.
You just what?
They come in. I just chased the black cat out of our yard because they come and eat all of our food, all of Artemis's cat food up. Apparently, we're the welfare state to a lot of other cats in the neighborhood.
Yeah, they'll do that.
They'll find the source and they'll glom onto that source. Anyway. I really kind of want to get this back cover understood by people, because the story is in the front and back cover, just like in Right of Way. You know, the story's in there. If you understand these two little simple illustrations or these books, the covers, you'll understand the problem. Sorry, my hat fell off. So again, in the top picture of this, you're looking at the biological implantation, which occurs around, you know, 7+ days later. And of course, implantation, it happens. It's where you rest. You come to rest. Remember, the first 5 or 6 days, you're floating on the waters of Mother in your boat, your ark. The zygote is your ark. You're Noah, and it's your ark. And you are unattached to anything at that moment. You are floating in the waters of Mother in time and space. You're just floating. There's no attachments at all until you land into the uterine wall. And that's important to know, because you existed prior to implantation. You existed prior to that. And by the way, even Genesis 2:2 in the Bible, even Genesis 2:2 in the Bible says what? On the seventh day God rests. So what was already created, the zygote is creation. What was already created, on the seventh day you come to rest where? In the uterine wall. On the seventh day God rests. That's even in their Bible it says that. So when you come to rest, when your boat comes to rest on the uterine wall, Mom's ground, the motherland, that is pictured down below as my boat on an island. Remember, Mom's uterine wall is part of Mom. But when the piece of uterine wall comes out as the maternal part of the placenta, that's just a piece of the motherland. It's an island. So now my boat, the thing I was actually traveling in, is still attached to that piece of ground, which is Mom's island. The bottom picture shows my boat, the vessel I came in on, still attached to the island. That's the fetal-maternal placenta. So the bottom picture is evidencing the fetal-maternal placenta. You don't see the umbilical cord because the boat's mooring line isn't in the picture. The boat's mooring line is not in the picture, so you don't see the umbilical cord in the bottom picture, but you definitely see the boat beached, stranded on this ground, this strip of land. So the whole thing reads, fixing the point of one's uterine wall implantation conception via historical record indicates an intentional civil stratagem to strand the arc of one's evolutionary supreme being upon a remote desert island frozen in the past. Well, the historical record from the top line evidences what? A moment in their time. Remember, the written record is after the fact of when things occurred. The written record is after the fact of when things actually occurred. And it can be any time. It can be made up completely. It doesn't matter what the number. It doesn't matter what the year. It can be completely made up, because what I'm doing right now in the present doesn't have a calendar. What day is it today for me, the living?
Today?
Today. Well, find me a calendar that has today on it.
Can't do that for you.
That they can't exist because they subdivided everything. They created different calendars for different fictions, different timelines. I mean, the Jews don't agree with the Christians. The Jewish calendar is what, 5784 or something like that? Whereas the Christian calendar is 2024, about 3,760 years difference.
Right.
And the Freemason calendar is around 6,000, which is ahead of the Jewish calendar. But they're all artificial. That's my point. And I'm not on any of them unless I believe I am. Unless I choose to place my brain, my mind, into that calendar, which is a what? A fiction. So if I'm in the present, right here, right now, today, but I choose the Gregorian calendar, Christian fiction, 2024, I'm in the present, but the birth certificated character is in a Christian realm, as a Christian, in 2024? Anno Domini, the year of our Lord.
If you go
I'm
back
in the present.
The mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, if you go back to the mirror, it's like you trying to get, it's like you're trying to put your essence, your reality into that image in the mirror. You're trying to squeeze yourself into that image, walk into that image. It's impossible. I mean, it's ridiculous when
well,
I say it, but that's...
Well, I'll put it this way. What, the easiest thing to do is just put a label on the on the on the mirror. Gregorian calendar.
Mm-hmm. Good job. Yeah.
Just put the calendar put Gregorian calendar on the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And just remember that every time you look in the mirror, it's just an image on in a calendar. And that calendar mm-hmm. is that evidencing not the present. It's not the present. It's a reflection of the present. But they're going to call it what? They're going to call it 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the mirror. That's the image in the mirror. That's 2024. It's not the present because I'm standing in front of the mirror. And me in the present moment, doesn't have any of that. There is no Gregorian calendar for the present. But when I look in the image, the reflection, the recording, the record, when I look at the character, the two-dimensional flat character that is lost to the past of the mirror, that character, you might as well just look at it and say Gregorian calendar. That's it. Because that character is presumed part of the Roman Catholic Church as a juridical juristic person. That juridical personality is what? The one that is supposed to be the vestment or the vesting in the Roman society. It's an official capacity in Rome. And what's the official religion of Rome?
Catholicism.
Christianity. So the image, the Gregorian calendar image, frozen in time as what? The image of God. The image of God is in the mirror. So when you hear people say, well, I was made in the image of God, who are you talking about? Because I'm filled with the breath of God right here in the present moment, standing in front of the representation, standing in front of the image. So I have the breath of God, life itself, in me, standing in front of the mirror, in front of that image. So whoever's claiming that they are in the image of God have claimed a representation.
They're trying to be in that mirror.
They are in the mirror. They're lost into the mirror. They're lost to the past, playing the role of a calendar character born to the Gregorian calendar, and they're playing the role of Christian. Back in time, 2024, no longer present. If you're not present, if you're no longer present, then all your property is held in trust. The trust is only for those lost to the mirror, lost to the fiction, lost the representation, lost to the image. All their property is held in trust. Living men don't use trusts. They own their property outright. So again, when you keep claiming the birth certificated infancy, the official capacity, the office, the juridical person, you're claiming the image, not the present. Not the present. It says, fixing the point of one's uterine wall implantation, conception via historical record. Fixing it. Meaning it doesn't move. It stays where it's at. So September 19th, 1960 at 3:50 a.m. is always September 19th, 1960 at 3:50 a.m. That's the moment that they place the marker in the ground, and that marker is a cross. It's a cross. And it's that cross is where I fell, where I disconnected. I hung myself on the cross. I got hung up by a birthday. And I keep going back there every year. Every 365 days, I go back there. So I never, ever age beyond the infant. And that's why there are no men left in anywhere in the world, that world, because everybody is an infant. And they've handed their property over to another through an atonement, turnover. But that would be wrong by the very definition. It's wrong to turn it over. That's why the truth, from fertilization to last breath, all present and accounted for, eliminates that mistake, that wrong. And that wrong is specific to the cutting of the umbilical and leaving behind something to be found by another. That middle line indicates an intentional civil stratagem. Remember that the Gregorian calendar is the civil calendar. It's the civil calendar. It says a civil stratagem to strand. In other words, I get frozen. I get stranded on that infant island. I get stranded every time I claim the birthday. I'm stranded. And so now what am I waiting for? I'm waiting for some boat to come and save me, to salvage me. There's your admiralty right there. Somebody's coming to save you from yourself through that erroneous claim of the birthday where you're stranded. You're biologically stranded on the placenta, that little strip of mother.
Yep.
It becomes an insular possession of the United States, insular, an island possession of the United States. You're stuck on an island. Probably one of the outlying islands of the United States. I don't know. And the last line says, the arc of one's evolutionary supreme being. The arc of one's evolutionary supreme being. The front cover shows your origin. It shows your beginning as one. And inside this zygote, subdivision occurs. I try to keep it simple. Baby, umbilical, and then the extra-embryonic material is all one biology. I just say baby, umbilical, and extra-embryonic so you can see all of that evolutionary process that leads to the baby is still the same biology as the single-celled zygote, the arc itself, the archive of all the information between mom and dad and all of their ancestors. It says the arc of one's evolutionary supreme being. Your supreme being began at zygote, Linda.
Yep.
And that being evolves to the woman that I'm talking to right now. It's a supreme being from fertilization to last breath. But it's not a being at all. It's to not be at all. When you choose the birth certificated fiction, you are no longer here. You're no longer present. And to be present is the very definition of to be.
Yep.
If you're not present, you're not here. If you're not here, you do not exist. You are not. You do not be. And that's why all your property is held in trust, because you're lost. I mean, if you look at the picture of that boat on the island, there's nobody in that picture. It's just a boat, right?
Right.
Where's the ship captain? Where's the captain of that boat? Where did he go?
No, he's not there.
He went home with mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
He went home with mom and dad, and only his boat and the land, the beach, the piece of ground that his boat ran aground. That's all that's evidence now. The fetal maternal placenta evidences your boat having run aground, which is implantation in the uterine wall. So the placenta evidences your boat still on that island, on that mother, on that ground. but there's no ship captain. There's no evidence of life. Nobody survived this. There's no evidence of life. So it says the Ark of One's evolutionary supreme being upon a remote desert island, frozen in the past. So the front cover and the back cover are now showing the potential problem. What's really interesting is open up the first page. What I like about it is that it does say that there's a Library of Congress control number, meaning that this information is on a shelf at the Library of Congress,
mm-hmm.
meaning that it's available. If people know what's in this book, and that's kind of what these calls are about at this point, certainly this call. Let me see how long I've been on. Okay, I'll be able to explain this book in this one call, I think. If you open up to the page where it shows the Library of Congress control number, to me, whenever I write a letter to anybody, I'm going to actually write, see first in time a Pacific transcription, and then I'm going to put the Library of Congress control number.
Awesome.
Because then I'm referring to what's in this book. I can mm-hmm. do the same thing with right-of-way. You know, if I mm-hmm. want to identify the right-of-way that I have, if somebody wants to specifically talk about that piece of ground, that motherland, well, then I would defer to right-of-way, and I would point out something in right-of-way and use that Library of Congress number, saying, oh, no, this is not me renting, you know, or leasing a piece of ground from anybody. Mom gave me a right-of-way over Mother Earth, you know, that's obvious, you know, and I have a right-of-way, and what that means is that I get to pass before everybody else makes any stupid-ass claims, you know. Again, if I come to an intersection where they have some fictitious character and they're saying that there's an accident or something happened, an injury, well, there can't be an injury if I have a right-of-way. I can never be guilty of anything if I have a right-of-way. In other words, if you create a character that bumps into me and my reality, your character should have never been there in the first place. Because it's a secondary character. It's an effect of something else. If I come to an intersection where your character bumps into me or I into it, that is not my problem. It's not my fault. I can never be at fault if I have a right-of-way. That's my point. I can never be at fault if I have a right-of-way. If I hit you in an intersection where I have a right-of-way, you shouldn't have been there. You should not have been in front of me. If I have a right-of-way, you should never be in front of me. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the whole idea with nature. If I'm first, if I exist first and everything else is subsequent, you can never put your shit that you make up in front of me. You can't put your stuff that you make up in front of me if I'm first. I'm always out front. I'm always first. And in the present moment, there's nothing in the past that should get in my way.
Mm-hmm.
If I take a birthday from 64 years ago and I place that as an impediment to my forward progress, if I do it myself, then I was misled. I don't want to put that impediment in front of me. I don't want to put that in front of me because that would be an imposition to me. I'm still moving forward. Why would I dig up something from the past and put it in front of me?
No,
that's what we do when we claim a birthday.
It would be a mistake, according to etymology, meaning an error in advice, opinion, or judgment.
An error in
advice.
Judgment. In judgment. Mm-hmm. Remember that undue influence
mm-hmm.
is you can break my will. You can hurt me until I sign on the dotted. You can make me do stuff through all of what you do to hurt me, to harm me, to scare me. You can make me do something and break my will, but if you haven't changed my mind, then my judgment remains the same.
Yep.
My judgment. I still say that birthdays are for infants. No matter what you do to me. Birthdays are for infants. I'm 64 plus years old. I shouldn't have to suffer infancy. That's an undue influence. And that's my point. You can't put something that happened 64 plus years in front of me and then force me to suffer that. That's undue influence.
Right.
If I haven't changed my mind, if I know that I only came out of mom one time, if I knew that I was only in the womb as a resident, that I wasn't staying there forever, if all those things are true and you can't change my mind, then the outcome of anything that I'm suffering, if I'm suffering, it's due to undue influence. That's why it's important to learn this so you can look at somebody who doesn't even know they're lying to you. They don't even know they're lying to you.
Right.
You're dealing with courts and bailiffs and so-called law enforcement. All these people, in most cases, don't have the depth of understanding as to why they're committing crimes. They don't even know they're committing crimes.
Right.
Because the people that put this system in place are more than happy to let everybody else do all the dirty work without actually knowing what they're doing.
Right.
Again, all these people aren't your enemies. They don't know the truth either. They probably know what they're doing is wrong because it feels wrong. They know it's wrong, but they don't know why it's wrong. I'm telling you why it's wrong. It's wrong because I have a right of way. I'm first in time. There's nobody in my world, in my kingdom, there's nobody ahead of me. There's nobody beyond me with authority. I'm the only one with authority over my kingdom, which begins at zygote.
Yep.
And if I have any troubles, if I want to talk to God, if I want to talk to myself, if I want to talk to somebody about my situation, it doesn't require another man. If I step back and look at all the shit I've done in my life, and if I can't tell that the consequences I suffer are based upon my poor decision-making, if I don't learn from those mistakes, whose fault is it?
Mine.
Mine. I'm the only one that has any right to speak about me or my actions unless I actually trespass or harm somebody. I love the back of this book. Because it tells the whole story. It tells you their story. It tells you how they're able to capture you. Anyway, back to that Library of Congress number, that's what I would do. I would use this book, but I would learn it. But I would use that Library of Congress control number, and I'd say, hey, I'm first in time. From zygote, from zygote to last breath, I have a right of way through nature. Look at this first line, though. Look at what's just opposite that page. What does that next page say? Linda?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Can you hear me? What is that? What is the page facing the Library of Congress page? What does that page say?
Across from it, ex uno disque omnes. From one thing, you can discern all. Bouvier's Law Dictionary.
Ex uno disque omnes. From one thing. From one thing, you can discern all.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to the front cover.
There it is.
There it is. There's my kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom over which I have supreme authority. The kingdom over which I am the sovereign. Sovereign meaning whole. Sovereign meaning king. I'm the king over this kingdom right here.
Yeah.
I'm the king. Sadly, they take my kingdom and they place it in a regency, in a trust, until I come to my senses. Which in most cases nobody ever does because they keep celebrating infancy, which keeps their kingdom in regency or under regency forever. You keep celebrating your infancy every 365 days, you'll always be a prince subject to regency. But the moment you wake up and recognize your kingdom from fertilization to last breath, from zygote to this moment, you're the king. And that's sovereignty. And by the way, that kingdom and everything your kingdom produces is private property, which is untaxable. But you better know all of this. But look what it says here. Ex uno deesis omnes. From one thing, you can discern all. From one thing. I mean, like the oak tree from the acorn, the baby from the zygote. I and my father are one. The point is that everything produced from my biology, everything produced since the zygote, everything intellectually produced, everything physically produced, everything genetically produced, everything from my kingdom is personal and private, and it's untaxable, everything, including my labor.
Yes.
How are they able to subject me to taxes if my kingdom is personal and private?
I volunteered it publicly to the public.
It becomes part of the public trust with a public record, a public record. And that public record has a piece of your biology and a piece of mom's biology left behind for the state to find and place into the trust until you regain your senses, until you come to. And again, I love that Johnny Cash song, When a Man Comes Around, because to come around is to wake up, to become conscious again. And when you become conscious of your kingdom, when you realize what has been stolen from you by fiduciaries breaching this trust that was forced upon you through the cutting of the umbilical cord. From one thing, you can discern all. So if they take a piece of this biology, Linda, the original biology, your first biology, the oldest of your biology, and they place it on deposit, and they say, we have this vestige, we have this vestigial piece of something on deposit, and from that, we're discerning everything else. So what they have on deposit is a piece of you that has been separated from the breath of God, separated through the cut. And so this piece of you dies. And it dies without a will. It dies intestate. Remember, this keto maternal placental material comes out. It's still pulsating. It's still alive. It's still living. When they clamp and cut the cord, it's still living. It's still living for a while, but it can't survive because it's not going to get nutrients or oxygen or anything else anymore. So that act, that amputation, is a violence, an act of violence, which is contrary to my past Pacific position. But it's an act of violence that creates a terminal point, and that terminal point then gives rise to a decedent estate, and that decedent estate then does what? It becomes a birth certificated person subject to trust law. When in reality, you're still breathing. You're still out here breathing, filled with the Spirit. And again, 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, the spiritual man shall be judged by no man. So when you know the whole story all the way back to zygote, ex uno deesis omnes, from one thing you can discern all. So from zygote to this moment, you can discern from zygote to this moment that everything about me is private. It's personal and private. All of my property is private. I don't care what labels they put on it, Linda. It's all private. In reality, it's all private. Fictio sedet veritati. Fiction yields to truth. So when you finally start telling the truth, when you finally know the truth and start telling the truth, when you finally start standing your ground because you know the truth and you start telling the truth, how do you do that? Well, I wrote letters. I write a lot of letters. I write letters so people know that I know the truth.
Yeah.
I don't care what they think that I'm doing because it's not true. I'm the author of my life. From fertilization to last breath, I'm the author, so I get to choose what? I get to choose everything. I get to choose the context in which I live. I get to choose the definitions of words that I use. I'm not subject to somebody else's story. I'm not subject to somebody else's narrative because I know the whole truth. So no piece of me is inside or part of somebody else's story. Underwriting somebody else's story, which is insuring,
right,
rather than my own.
Mm-hmm.
From one thing, you can discern all. So if my zygote's the beginning of my life, species-specific origin, then whatever character that they have created doesn't apply to me. For them to hang me with their character would be a trespass.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be an encumbrance, or it would be an impediment, or an imposition, which would be literally a trespass. So look at ex unia deus omnes, from one thing you can discern all. If they hadn't cut the cord, if they hadn't separated me, then I would have been evidencing my godly origin with the umbilical cord and the extra-embryonic material as all one being, coming out into the present moment as one. As one. And then over the next few days, 10 days, whatever, the umbilical cord and all of its material at the other end being the placenta, all of that biology would have been drawn into me, baby. And over time, that material, which is drawn all into me, into the present moment, Linda, all in the present, delivered in the present, everything about it is present, all of the life force from the placenta and umbilical cord comes into the baby as one, and then over time that material falls off like a scab, but I'm all present and accounted for. When they clamp and cut the cord, they actually keep a piece of me off. It's a form of dismember. They dismembered me. And then they place that member on deposit. And now if I don't know that member, if I don't remember that in my own account, they create an account for that member. And that's the account that everybody thinks that they want to get. But it can't be a genuine account. It can't be true, because it cannot exist if you do. And if you do, then it cannot. It's one or the other. So if you are living, if you want to be, if you want to be, if you want to be, then that account cannot exist. And all that has to happen at that point is, since you are the owner, and that piece of you, that property that was presumably lost, missing, mislaid, whatever, the fiduciaries in reality would have to do what? Return it to you. That would be a fiduciary duty to return it to you once you were found alive, found to be alive. That's a Sedekevi trust. The Sedekevi says when a man proves life, he's revested. Well, hell yeah. But I'm not revested with mom's property, because I'm not the infant. So you can't put me back in the womb and say I'm an infant subject to administrative process, but since that organ, since the placenta was a fetal maternal organ, once I prove life, which is the biology of the fetus or the baby, once I prove life, then whatever account they attach to that maternal portion, that's a dowry.
Yeah.
And it's for me and me alone. There are no middlemen between me and mom. And that's the whole point of this. When you know the biology, when you know the science, Linda, all of a sudden, all of the fictions start to disappear, because there's no jurisdiction for the living. They're all fictitious.
Mm-hmm.
If I go and apply for a job at McDonald's, and they give me the McDonald's uniform because they hire me, and then they give me the McDonald's corporate handbook and say, here's all of the rules, the bylaws of McDonald's. While you're employed by us, all of these rules apply to you. They apply to you.
Yep.
While you're wearing the McDonald's uniform, while you're at work, then all of the rules in this rule book applies to you. Well, what happens when you take the job, the Social Security numbered character, the birth certificate person, and put on those clothes, put on that uniform, UCC, UCC, UCC. When you put on the uniform, universal
uniform of that character, the universal uniform, which is the Gregorian calendar character. That's the UCC. When you wear the clothing of that character, you're now subject to the UCC, the Uniform Commercial Code. And think about that. That uniform is nothing but a form of livery, L-I-V-E-R-Y. It's a livery system. Mm-hmm. So you're wearing the uniform of that of a character subject to what? The employee handbook designed specifically for that character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the birth certificated person. It's no different than going to work at McDonald's. Now you're working for or through some franchise that has its own booklet, its own code.
Yeah.
Well, what happens if you're in nature? What happens when the truth comes out? Then all of that man-made nonsense disappears. And those are all of the jurisdictions of the fiction. And as long as you don't actually trespass upon somebody else's existence, somebody else's kingdom, you're never, ever brought into the court, ever. There is no court for the living. Article 3 court would be the only court that would be there, but you don't see those very often. Only after a lot of what? Appeals. Do you get up to reality?
Mm-hmm.
Finally, that's the final appeal, is to reality. Mm-hmm. Again, ex uno desis omnes. From one thing you can discern all. If you're whole from this zygote, if you're whole, W-H-O-L-E, if you have knowledge of it, if you know the nature of existence from this one single cell to where you are today, then none of the fictions apply. None of them.
No. None.
The next page, Linda, it says the zygote. Well, that's what we have on the cover of this book.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, the zygote's the first diploid cell formed following fertilization. The fusion of the haploid oocyte, the egg, which is the ovum, and spermatozoa, which is the sperm, resulting in the combination of their separate genomes. The zygote will therefore form the conceptus, the embryonic embryo fetus, and extraembryonic fetal membranes, fetal component of the placenta, cellular products of fertilization. It's all one. It's all one. Baby umbilical and extraembryonic are all one entity, all one being, one supreme being. And then monad. What I'm really doing here is I'm laying it out to where once you understand that from this zygote, this single cell zygote to this moment, it's all one biology. It's all one kingdom. And if you allow a piece of you to get cut off and picked up by some other rule, some other ruler, as a measure within their system, a measure within their, a standard within their ideas, now that's the duplicity. That's the duality. And that's the cut. That's the cut. Monad. Monad's an old idea, an old term. It says the term monad from ancient Greek monas. I always think it's funny that the Mona Lisa, but monas, unity, monos alone, is used in some cosmic philosophy and cosmogony to refer to a most basic or original substance. As originally conceived by the Pythagoreans, the monad is the supreme being, divinity, or the totality of all things. Well, that's how we begin. It is our supreme being. But that supreme being begins at the monad, begins with the zygote, and it ends with our last breath outside the womb. It's all one life, unless you decide to divide it up. Like Old Testament, New Testament. Old Testament in the womb, New Testament out of the womb. You know what? Those are all fictions. Those are all ideas. They're all man-made ideas.
And as long as you adhere to these man-made ideas, you're going to be suffering man-made ideas. Yeah, this we'll actually be able to do this, I think. Next page is supreme. The definition of supreme according to Black's Law, 5th edition. Supreme, superior to all other things. Supreme power, the highest authority in a state. All other powers in being inferior thereto. Think about this. This zygote evidences your direct link to God, creation itself. Mm-hmm. Why would you separate yourself from that? Through the admission of a birth certificated character. Supreme supremacy, the state of being supreme or in the highest station of power, paramount authority, sovereignty, sovereign power. That's supreme and then being. Look at the definition of being according to Merriam-Webster. It says, the quality or state of having existence, something that is conceivable and hence capable of existing, something that actually exists, the totality of existing things, conscious existence, life. Two says the qualities that constitute an existent thing, essence, personality. Three says a living thing, especially a person. I mean, how many people don't know that your body is the person? Your body is the personality. Your biology is the essence. It's all of these things, but most people think the person is the fiction. So they run from the word person. My person is my biology. My person is this substance. They just gave that person a label after it was cut off. So that's the label that they gave a piece that is detrimental. It's not the biology that's detrimental. It's the label that they created for it. Because they created the label. They didn't create the biology. So the left behind material, which is yours and mom's, it gets left back there, and they do what? They give it a title. They call it an event. Well, what's the event? I don't know, the separation from God, separation from creation, separation from nature. Is that the event? No, it's a birthday. Whatever. The same thing. And, of course, the separation, the cut, the fault itself, the cut, the fault, is a disgrace. Disgrace. Because now you're separated from the grace of God, so it's disgraceful. So when you take on the birth certificated person, you're also considered disgraceful because you're separated from God. What's really weird is it's also considered disgrace, meaning honor. Grace is honor. So now you're dishonor. You're in dishonor. You're in dishonor the moment you claim the birth certificated separation from God. That's the disgrace or the dishonor. Because you're separated from God the Father, i.e. the zygote. Now you're in dishonor. Every one of these patriot organizations, every one of these groups that are trying to teach you, change your status, Linda. You got to change your status in order. No, you don't. You have to recognize the truth is what you have to do. You have to start telling the truth, not change your status.
No, thank you.
Look what adjective says for being.
Present.
Mm-hmm. So being, supreme being, is to be all present and accounted for, mind, body, and spirit, all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And to be self-governing, to be self-determining. But you have to be self-governing and self-determining for all of your kingdom, not the part that you're looking at in the mirror. You can't forget your godly origin. You have to recognize where the source of your power is, and it's the zygote. The source of your power is your beginning, your being all-present and accounted for. So look at being, supreme being. Now put supreme and being together, and you'll understand the powers that be. I always laugh when somebody says that to me. Well, the powers that be, Kurt. Well, are you excluding yourself? Because if you're present, you have the power. If you're not present, you don't have the power. So the powers that be are those that are present in mind, body, and spirit. That's where the power's at. The powers that be are the living. 1 Corinthians 2:15. And the spiritual man shall not be judged by another man. Well, why? Because the spiritual being, the breathing man, the spiritual being, the spiritual man, has all his, he has sovereign powers, the sovereign power of the grace of God. From fertilization to last breath, that's it.
Yep.
There is nobody else that can tell you what to do.
Nope.
It's pretty weird how simple this is.
I know.
Again,
so simple.
A squirrel is not subject to the court. If you brought a squirrel in there and said, hey, this squirrel ate all the food out of my garage, we need to put it in jail, you'd be laughed out of the courtroom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't have any jurisdiction over nature. Oh, thanks for telling me. Thanks for telling me. Next page. What's that?
I just said
the squirrel.
I mean, taking the squirrel in and said, you know, the squirrel did it. They'd be laughing out. Nature can't do that. Oh, well, thanks for telling me that because I know I'm whole too. So see you later.
Next page has the etymology. What?
No, I'm just, my brain is doing cartoon characters today, so sorry.
Etymology online, the definition of father, and this is amazing. Because when you understand that my dad gave me 23 chromosomes. That's not my 46. My 46 are a combination of mom and dad. So my dad only gave me 23 chromosomes. And yet I'm a product of a 46 chromosome single cell zygote. The father, my father, I came from the zygote. My dad offered 23 chromosomes as far as his building materials, but he didn't give me 46 chromosomes. My father, I'm the offspring of 46 chromosomes, so I differentiate my dad, thank you very much, love you very much, but I came from the father, the zygote. The zygote has 46 chromosomes, and I'm a product, through evolutionary due process, I'm a product of the zygote. That's why the Bible says I and my father are one. The baby and the zygote, like the oak tree and the acorn, the baby and the zygote are one and the same. But the baby is the offspring of the zygote. So the offspring, the fruit, and the zygote itself are one and the same thing. I and my father are one. My 46 chromosome baby and the 46 chromosome single cell zygote are one and the same. I'm a product of the zygote. The zygote is my father. Now the definition of father, and this is etymology. It says Middle English fader or fader, a one who begets a child nearest male ancestor, also any lineal male ancestor, the supreme being. They're saying the father is the supreme being. The father is the supreme being. I'm going to go down to the last paragraph here. It says, as a title of various church dignitaries from the 13th century, meaning creator, inventor, author. So father means creator, inventor, author. It says mid-14th century that of anything that gives rise to something else. Does that sound like the zygote to baby?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Does dad's sperm alone give rise to the baby?
No.
No, it requires that creative fertilization process with mom's 23 chromosomes. So dad's sperm does not give rise to the zygote. Dad's sperm does not give rise to the baby. The embryo fetus baby. The zygote gives rise to the embryo fetus baby. So the father, the offspring of the zygote, it says anything that gives rise to something else is the father. and that's the zygote, the 46 chromosome zygote. That's why on the next page I actually say it. I and my father are one. Then the following four pages are my witness. I call it my witness statement. And I'm not going to cover that, maybe someday. But that witness statement is for everyone. That witness statement works for everyone. But you better know what it means. Now, if I were to buy this book, which I did, obviously, in the end, I put my own thumbprint over that witness statement where it says the author and pacifist. There's nothing in there that wouldn't allow everybody else to do the same thing. The reason I say that is because what's in that witness statement applies to all of us. It applies to all of us. In fact, the very last line of the statement says, any objections to one's first-hand account must be made within 60 days publication of first in time of a Pacific transcription, or everything peaceably assembled, equitably resolved via one's copyrighted first edition tome stands forever and everyone as unrebutted. This statement is forever and everyone. You can put your thumbprint on there and own it. Because if you know that it's true, if that's the direction you want to go, next page says the original unedited audio of this transcription can be heard at www.supremebeing.life. That is a true statement. I did go and get that website, and I got the two audios, the right-of-way audio over there, as well as first-in-time audio there. You can listen to both of those audios at supremebeing.life. I put that in there because I think people should actually listen to the audio their first time through, the transcription. Because when you listen to you and I talk, when you listen to the conversation and you're going through the transcription while listening, it's going to make a lot of sense. And it's going to become obvious. Reading it by itself is okay. There's no doubt about it. It makes sense when you read it. But when you listen to the conversation and follow along, you can read it after that and go, holy cow, holy cow, you're going to be highlighting the heck out of this conversation because there's so much in it that can help you get past the fiction, get past the ideas that are being put out by all these numbskulls that you need to change your status. You don't. You're already here. You've always been present. You've never not been present, Linda. You've never not been present. I mean, from fertilization to this moment, you've never not been present. So why do they keep trying to hang you with the public debt? That's not you. That's not your problem. You're not party to the public debt. But the commercial characters born to the commercial timeline, the civil timeline, the public timeline, they're certainly participating in the public debt. So you listen, you go to supremebeing.life and you listen to this conversation. And then at the end of the conversation, I did what? I took bits and pieces of the conversation and I expanded that thought. I expanded it. So go to page 211.
There it is.
I mean, you there?
Mm-hmm.
And look what it says. It says on page 209, it says end of author's testimony.
Mm-hmm.
On page 211, it says the mystery discussed in my conversation with Linda is clearly solved within the author's exposition for those with eyes to see. So we talked about this stuff, and then I went back through, and I picked out words that needed to be understood, and that again, you're gonna see this in a second, but it says example. I'm back to page 211. The mention of mutual exclusivity in the audio transcription at Curtis R. 37 minutes 25 seconds. So I'm going to go to the page that has Curtis R. at 37 minutes 25, which is page 35. So page 35 says Curtis R. at 37 minutes 25 seconds. The past and the present are mutually exclusive. And so it says in my example here, Curtis R., the past and the present are mutually exclusive, and it's explained at .3725 mutually exclusive in the following. So if you go to the timeline, the exposition timeline of 3725, wherever that is. Let me see if I can find it. 38. Let me see, 37. There it is, page 301.
Okay.
Bottom of page 301 says 3725. I see the decimal's in the wrong place, it looks like. Maybe. But anyway, it says mutually exclusive. So what I do is if I need to expand so people understand mutually or mutual exclusivity, I put the definition and the hyperlink in so you could go to it. But it says mutually exclusive is a statistical term describing two or more events that cannot happen simultaneously. It can't happen at the same time. Can you be here and there at the same time?
No.
No. So if you're present, can you be present and the past, or in the past at the same time?
No.
Okay, so you can't be present and at a birth event, can you, at the same time?
No.
So if they try to place you at the birth event and subject you to an infant regency, by you claiming a birth certificated character, you cannot be both present and that birth certificated character at the same moment in time. What they've done is they've been able to get you to agree to be what? Deported?
Yeah.
Did they get deported. You to agree to what they got you mentally to agree to go to the District of Columbia and wear the character of that district? What do they call it when they move something to another courtroom or another jurisdiction?
I don't know the word. I'm sure everybody's yelling at me. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up in black. Black. Let's see.
What's the word we're looking up?
I'm just looking for a specific word.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Well, there it is, right there. Change of venue.
Mm-hmm.
It's at, look at that, it's at Article 42, believe it or not, a change of venue. Civil Resource Manual, number 42, change of venue.
Are we online or are we in black.
I'm just online at the Department of Justice, but I'm not at my computer, so I can't do too much right now. Let me see if I can. Hang on. I'm gonna send this to you if I can. Nope, wrong one. I gotta get to my email. Sorry. There it is. There you are. Tell me when you get this. Hang on. I gotta. Change of venue. Okay, but I want you to think about this. What is it? What's a shorter version of change of venue? Revenue.
Yeah.
To revenue is a change of venue, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When you revenue to somewhere else, it's a change of venue.
Yeah.
Well, what's another way to pronounce revenue?
Revenue. Mm-hmm.
So there, it's a internal revenue. It's a change of your mind. So you're changing your mind from present to infancy, the present moment to your infant past. You're changing your mind. It's a revenue, a revenue. And when they revenue you, you're revenuing through the character that is subject to the district, the 10 square miles of the District of Columbia, and that's the birth certificated person. So the birth certificated person is subject to revenue laws within the District of Columbia, which is why the Bar Association can be applied to those characters, because the bar cannot move or go outside of the District of Columbia. But you revenue yourself by claiming the birth certificated charter, the birth certificated franchise. That's why you end up subject to the district courts or subject to the District of Columbia, because of your own change of mind. By the way, if they don't change your mind, but you're still subjected to the outcome of the infancy, what would that be?
Undue influence.
Undue influence. So if you're forced to revenue, to revenue, if you're forced to revenue, to revenue, but you actually do not change your mind, if you are very specific to say, listen, if I suffer the infancy due to a revenue or revenuing, it's not because I've changed my mind. It's because of the law of necessity or something else to where you guys forced me to do this, and now I'm suffering infancy. I'm suffering the collective. I'm suffering the United Nations health laws. I'm suffering all of these things when I have never changed my mind.
Right.
I know that's an infant character. I know that's detrimental. I know that's going to injure me. And yet you guys don't have any work. There's no work for the Bar Association if that infant does not exist. That's what I know. I know that. You get rid of the infancy, right. You get rid of that character, and the Bar Association has no work. Because they can't go beyond the 10 square miles of the District of Columbia.
Right.
And my guess is that your biology fell into the District of Columbia, which is what? What court case is where a piece of the waste material has fallen to the public Haslam road, the public Haslam road. Haslam versus Haslam Lockwood. Versus. What year was that?
I don't
1871, the same year the District of Columbia was created.
Of course.
So that material that was amputated becomes a phantom limb character, a Gregorian calendar civil character phantom limb that you continually feel the pain of. After they amputate that organ and carry it away and let it die, you continually feel the pain, i.e. phantom limb. By the way, when was the definition of phantom limb created? 1871, the same year is the district of creation of the District of Columbia, the same year as
Haslam versus Lockwood. It's all related. It's all the same character. But it's mutually exclusive. That's the whole point. Going back to the book.
Yep.
It says that mutual exclusive. Mutually exclusive is a statistical term describing two or more events that cannot happen simultaneously. It is commonly used to describe a situation. Situs. That's the implantation. It's where you're. It's that bed. You made your bed. Now you have to lie in it. Well, what is making your bed? Claiming a birthday is making your bed. It says a situation where the occurrence of one outcome supersedes the other. For example, war and peace cannot exist coexist at the same time. Well, guess what? The clamping and cutting of the umbilical cord creates a particular end, and a particular end is evidence of a war. What happens when the cut doesn't occur, when there's no particular end? There's no war, so now there's peace. And, of course, at the bottom of this, it says, note, the forensic courts hold the key to solving the mystery. Of course, we know that the word mystery means Eucharist. And we also know that the Eucharist is that fetal-maternal placental biology. The next page, page 213, begins the author's exposition. And that's me taking our conversation and expanding it. Now, if I expanded every word, it would be tens of thousands of pages long.
Yeah.
But what I did do, if you go back to our conversation, the first page of our conversation, which is page one in the book, right at the very first line where it says Curtis R 000004, it says, I started the recording right now before I forgot. That's me making a statement to you. And of course, then you laughed and said, before you ever said a word. But if you look at author's exposition on page 213, you'll notice that the word I chose out of my statement was the word record or record. On page 213, all I did was give the hyperlink to the word record at Webster's. The reason I did that is because I expect people to go look up the word record.
Right.
I'm not going to lay out all of the word record on here, because if I did, then at 7 seconds I used the word word. At 15 seconds, I had mute. At 1 minute and 3 seconds, I had residual. At 1 minute and 9 seconds, the word store. At 1 minute 27, analog. At 1 minute 34, straddle. At 1:42, digital. At 1:46, memoir. So what I did, I just put the links. By the way, if you buy the audio of this, I think all of these hyperlinks are active.
Okay.
I mean, if somebody were to spend, I don't know what it costs, 10 or 20 bucks, if they bought the downloaded audio, all of these links are live.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's that Supreme Being live?
It will be, but it's not yet.
Okay.
You're going to be able to buy the audio at Amazon, or eventually you'll be able to buy it, probably at Supreme Being too. But what I'm getting at is that if you go to record, I'm going to go to it now. I'm going to go to the very first one, from the first sentence of the audio. I'm going to Webster's right now, and I'm just going to go. I'm going to put the word record in. Now I'm actually telling people how to use this book right now.
Yep.
Record, Webster's. Now, knowing that I'm the last sentence on page 211 says, note, the forensic courts hold the key to solving the mystery. The forensic courts. Forensic. Do you have your Black's Law anywhere close? I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go to the word forensic So people know that that little note on page 211 where it says the forensic courts, well, you need to know what forensic means. Because that's the key to this thing.
Yes. It's on page
forensic.
580.
$5.83, Black Law, 5th edition. Forensic says belonging to courts of justice. Okay. Sounds like the Department of Justice. Well, is that Article 3 courts?
No.
No. The executive branch has its own court system, and it's the Department of Justice. It's not Article 3 courts of the Constitution. It's the executive branch. The president has his own court system, and it's called the Department of Justice. But justice is supposed to be the thing that reconnects you with the father or legitimacy. That's justice. From fertilization to last breath, from the zygote is what you're trying to get justice for. And that's to reconnect with the Father or to know who the Father is. Your heavenly Father is the zygotic material. Look what else it says. Right before, right underneath forensic, it says forensic medicine. It says that science which teaches the application of every branch of medical knowledge. Well, doesn't it seem like around the world this is nothing but medical tyranny at this point?
Yep.
Yeah, it's because nobody knows that from fertilization to last breath is health. H-E-A-L-T-H, that's health. That's where your W-H-O-L-E, whole. Whole equals healthy. Whole is from fertilization to last breath. If you allow the birth certificate cut or fault to occur, you're not whole. You're not healthy. So all of those people that are still claiming a birthday are not considered healthy. That's why the World Health Organization, that's why the United Nations, they're all expecting everybody to claim a birth certificated illness. It's mental illness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Claiming a false narrative over reality is mental illness. If you're living through a false reality or a narrative, a fictitious narrative, that's mental illness, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
then, and
right
almost
now.
Every.
Go ahead.
It goes
everybody.
On to say that science, forensic medicine, that science which teaches the application of every branch of medical knowledge to the purposes of the law. Hence, its limits are, on the one hand, the requirements of the law, and on the other, the whole range of medicine. Remember, Luke 5:31 says, they that are whole, Jesus in his own word says, they that are whole need not a physician. If you're whole from fertilization to last breath, you don't need the forensic courts. They're just trying to put you Humpty back together with you Dumpty.
Mm-hmm.
It says, whole range of medicine. Should probably look up the definition of medicine. But it goes on to say anatomy, physiology, medicine, surgery, chemistry, physics, and botany lend their aid as necessary or as necessity arises. And in some cases, these branches of science are required to enable a court of law to arrive at a proper conclusion on a contested question affecting life or property. Life or property. Again, if you're living, then your shit doesn't end up in probate. The Sedeque Vi 1666 Trust Act says when a man proves life, he's revested with his title. If you keep claiming a decedent, the decedent estate, the birth certificated decedent estate, you're not evidencing life. The forensic courts are there to put you back together again. They call it justice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I put that little note in there. It says, note the forensic courts hold the key to solving the mystery. It's all biology. That's why they're getting you all you folks out there to laugh and joke. Oh, trust the science. Yes, but you better know what they're saying, because the science evidences fertilization. There is no, I mean, when that happens in the womb, there is no moment captured. Nobody knows the moment of fertilization, Linda. That's the point. Nobody knows when your life began, so they can't start the claim on your life. They start a claim on a religious narrative or a calendar character, the Gregorian calendar, civil calendar character, but they can't start their claim at the moment of creation because they don't know it. And neither does mom. Nobody knows the moment that sperm fertilizes that ovum. Hell, they don't even call mom pregnant until implantation. The word pregnant doesn't even get used until 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 days after creation. Pregnancy doesn't occur until implantation into the uterine wall, so they're not even considering mom pregnant, even though life exists. Life exists at fertilization, but they're not calling it life. They're saying, well, mom's not even pregnant yet until implantation. That's how important this stuff is. And again, if the forensic courts are looking for life, do they look for life in a fiction, or they look for life at fertilization?
Look at for life at fertilization.
That's, yeah, because that's where life begins. That's why I put that in there. The forensic courts hold the key to solving the mystery. The forensic courts, the district courts, the courts of justice. They know this. The Department of Justice know this. And by the way, where do you find those guys? In the federal government. And what does small f federal mean?
Your
man's
head,
covenant with God.
So God's covenant with God.
Mm-hmm. Man's covenant with God evidences the beginning, evidences fertilization, the covenant with creation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, of course, that covenant, that agreement, you're agreeing to responsibility. You're agreeing to nature. You're saying that, listen, nobody owes me anything. From fertilization to last breath, nobody owes me anything. Nature doesn't have credits and debits. Nature doesn't. Fertilization is part of nature, and nature is uninsurable. So again, you go back to the beginning, you go back to fertilization, all of their insurance scams, all of their insurable fictional persons, all of that shit goes off. It's taken away. It's removed from your threat. But you better know the truth. You better know the truth. Again, back to page 213, where I start putting in these timelines. I'll just go to let me see if I – it doesn't matter. So from page 213 – wow. 213 to 587. 589. 213 – 589, 386 pages. 376 pages, I'm sorry, of exposition. 376 pages of exposition from the conversation you and I had. And it's laid out. I'll show you how I'm going to go through one of these with you. It's laid out in a format like an outline. So if I go to page 214.
Okay.
At 00:05:10, bottom left, the World Health Organization, uh-huh. Is a specialized agency of the United Nations responsible for international public health. Public health. Does the World Health Organization have anything to say about the health of a private man or woman?
No.
Yes or no?
No. N-O.
Because it says public health.
Yeah.
So the World Health Organization that everybody's arguing about, if we actually knew that our privacy, our personal and private lives began at fertilization, from fertilization to last breath, we're fully private and all personal. If we understand fertilization and last breath as a private man or woman, does public health affect us?
No.
That's my whole argument. When you know the truth all the way, then what they're subjecting the public to does not affect you. Public law, public rules, public accounts, public debts, all of that stuff is for the public. But you better damn well know where your private life began. It began at fertilization. And I didn't enter the public through an act of violence. I'm opposed to violence. I'm opposed to communism. But it says at 5:10, World Health Organization is a specialized agency of the United Nations responsible for international public health. That's at 5:10. And then down below that, it says regarding health, see USPS registered letter, and there's a number there. That's a letter from me. That evidences the receipt of a letter from me by the World Health Organization Director General. So there's evidence of me sending a letter regarding what I'm talking about to the World Health Organization. Then on the next page at the top, it says the WHO, the World Health Organization, was established 7 April 1948. Well, that's interesting. That's the same year that Israel, right around the same year Israel was created. The same year that the Lanham Act was, just right around the same time the Lanham Act. It's the same year that the Harry S. Period Truman idea came about for convenience and consistency with the initial period, 1948. So if you can see that world health became a problem around the time that they were creating this person to keep the peace, this third party, third person. That's the cut. It goes on to talk about world health then at 6:20. I'm gonna go back to the conversation because I like to see how this goes. People go, well, this the book doesn't make any sense. It does if you follow the conversation, Linda. So you notice right after the World Health Organization comment, it goes 000620, 6 feet apart. Hello? Shit. Did I lose you? Linda? Linda? Hello? I'm actually still on the phone right now. I'm just waiting for Linda to come back in if she's going to. I don't want to wait too long. I'm going to text her real quick so she knows. Oh, looks like she's working and getting back on. All right, bear with me. She's coming. You there?
Finally, I couldn't get back in.
No, it's okay. You just disappeared, and I talked to the listeners for a couple of minutes, but I even got bored with my own voice. So,
yeah,
so here's
really
the
weird.
Thing is,
yeah, go ahead.
So again, I want people to understand that if you're trying to read the exposition, you really need to be following the conversation, because the conversation that you and I are having, it goes from an idea to an idea to an idea to an idea. In the conversation, it flows. But when you separate out each of those ideas, it's hard to read unless you know that the time frame begins a new thought. So I'm going to go back to what I was just talking about. I was talking about the World Health Organization at 5:10, but at 6:20, I start a new idea called 6 feet apart. And if you go to the conversation at 6:20, which is page 6, so as you're reading along here, at 6:20, it says, "I'll be 6 feet under, ha ha, in the basement, laugh, whatever." So I'm talking about going down into the basement while you and I are talking, which I call 6 feet under.
Mm-hmm.
But so what I do in the exposition is I describe what 6 feet apart or 6 feet under actually means. So on page 215, it says 6 feet under equals 6 feet, or 6 feet apart equals 6 feet under, a.k.a. to be dead and buried. And then I put the link in to explain 6 feet under. But then I put in the definition of buried alive. Premature burial, also known as live burial, burial alive, or sepulcher, means to be buried while still alive. Animals or humans may be buried alive accidentally on the mistaken assumption that they are dead, or intentionally as a form of torture, murder, or execution. Now, again, when you claim the decedent estate, the birth certificated decedent estate, there's a presumption of a decedent. Of a decedent. So I put the definition of execution and performance, and then I put in the Scott versus McNeil case about a man being found alive after 7 years or 10 years and saying, "Hey, you shouldn't have sold all my stuff because I've never been dead." Same thing with the birth certificated person. None of us have ever been dead, but all of our property is being held in trust until we prove life. But we don't prove life by claiming a decedent birth certificated estate. We can only prove life if we go all the way back to fertilization, which is the zygote. The only way to be considered a living man or woman is from the beginning, Linda, not from the false narrative.
Absolutely.
So we are all buried alive.
Yeah.
And I was just joking about going 6 feet under into my basement, but I know that it's important. When they started forcing people to wear masks and separate themselves by 6 feet, it's because they were separating the present from the 6 feet buried alive legal fiction, 6 feet under. That's what they're doing. They put a mask on you, and you were separated by 6 feet, where all the dead are 6 feet under. So they separated all of those people willing to subject themselves to that nonsense of the mask and say, "Well, we got to be 6 feet apart." Yeah, that's 6 feet under. You're evidencing being buried alive. By wearing the mask and being 6 feet apart, you're all buried alive.
Yeah.
And that came out of something as stupid as me saying, "I'm going in the basement 6 feet under."
Right.
And then I put in the Sedekah-Vai Act of 1666 as part of that thought, and I actually put that act in there. And then I put in a Latin phrase that an absent person will not be an heir. So again, if you keep claiming the birth certificated position, you're absent, considered a decedent, and you can't inherit.
You can't be an H-E-I-R, you'll be an H. You'll be an E-R-R-O-R.
You'll be an error. You'll be wrong. And then I put in a note that says any engagement with the Gregorian calendar infant decedent to state exerts undue influence over the unique, natural, and evolutionary due process of a reasonably mature man. That's just my note. Mm-hmm. Next thing down says social distancing 6 feet apart during the COVID pandemic. The CDC defines social distancing as remaining out of congregate settings, avoiding mass gatherings, and maintaining distance approximately 6 feet to 2 meters or 2 meters from others when possible. And then, of course, I put in dummy, the word dummy, because I knew that it meant something. So as part of the same thought, the same line of thinking, I put in dummy. It says, one who purchases property and holds legal title for another, usually to conceal, there's your mask, the identity of the true owner, a straw man, six and a half feet in width between street railroad tracks, six feet.
Wow.
Between street railroad tracks, and I went, okay, what's the definition of between? There's that. Then to railroad, it says, with respect to legislation, to force through legislation over objection of a minority. That's the cut. It's the minor account. So the other side of the tracks means a part of town or city that is particularly impoverished, this is the real definition, and usually dangerous or undesirable as a result. Tracks refers to railroad tracks, which are sometimes thought of as demarking different economic areas of a town. Then I put the definition of minority, and then I put the Civil Rights Act of 1866 in. This is my line of thought. And all I did was run with the idea of going down into the basement after getting a cup of coffee, going down 6 feet under. That's how this book lays out. I want people to keep their head in and understand that everything is biological. Everything they're doing is attaching it to you through your own misunderstandings, your own beliefs, your own claims. Anyway, this well, one...
And I just
All I wanted to finish up... All I wanted to finish up was that an idea that seems so nothing, 6 feet under, at 6:20 on page 215, I start the idea of 6 feet apart. It's all of 260, page 216. It's all of page 217. It's all of page 218. It's all of page 219. It's all of page 220. It's all of page 221. It's all of page 222. By the way, 222 has COD, COD. This is all out of 6 feet under, Linda. That's my point.
That was what I was going to make a point to. That's right.
And it's all of page 223. It's all of page 224. It's all of page 225. All of page 226. So all of those pages come from just a passing idea of 6 feet under, 6 feet apart. And it finishes on page 227. And the next one coming up is at 6:50, confused. My point is that all of that stuff, all of it, is all connected. It's a thought leading to a thought leading to a thought leading to a thought. And for those with eyes to see, it's going to become a really plain and simple explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And it is all of that. I mean, I just want to, that's a really extreme example, because how many pages are there from minute 620 at 6 feet apart to the last page, which is 227? I mean, that's 11... almost 12 pages
mm-hmm.
before the next time slot came up. and change the thought. Maybe someday I'll actually go through this thing and I'll explain every single thing. But I'm not prepared to do that. It was too hard to do in the first place.
Yeah. 802 goes from 227 to 88 to 236. So it's
which one? 802?
802 Gregorian civil calendar, and it takes the thought.
8 minutes at 8 minutes.
Uh-huh. 8 minutes too. On page 227. Okay. Goes from 227 to.
Oh yeah. But
the,
you know, you brought this. Well, here's what's interesting is I've already gone in and started highlighting and writing notes in mine. But go to page 228.
Okay.
So at 8:02, it's Gregorian civil calendar. And I start expanding on what that is. If you, on the next page, it says Roman Catholic Church. It has the definition of Roman Catholic Church being the juristic personality. Juristic personality, that's the Roman Catholic Church. It's not brick and mortar, it's the juristic personality. And then I went to Jurist at Etymology Online, which is that definition right below Roman Catholic Church on page 228. And about 40% of the way through, there's a it says, from Old Latin, eos, perhaps literally, sacred formula. See that in bold?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The sacred formula, which is the juristic personality, the sacred formula. A formula means something compounded or put together, alchemy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the sacred formula they're using?
The cut material.
What is it, though?
The Mary and Jesus, the tertian quid, the placenta.
The fetal maternal placenta, the Jesus
placenta.
And Mary.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the fetal maternal biology that is the sacred formula that they're calling mm-hmm. Jesus and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
See, I know this.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you understand that the placenta, if looked at as a third-party third person, as a measure for peace, then that's the Jesus and Mary measure. That is the fetal-maternal placenta, which is a formula because it's compounding or it's combining or bonding together two positions, which is the composition of matter at 35 U.S.C. 101, but it's also the social contract, which comes from a bundle of rights. The bundle is the fetal maternal placenta bundled together. Me and mom bundled together.
Yeah.
That's the sacred formula. This book is so dense to me. It's so dense.
Yeah, well,
there's
then
so
below
much
that
in.
You have law, health, make ritually pure, marriage. I mean, just in that one paragraph.
Just in the one, and that's just for jurists. And, of course, the juristic personality is the Roman Catholic Church, which is the birth certificated fetal-maternal placenta, the birthday cake. And that cake is what they discuss in Unum Sanctum as the human creature. And the human creature, according to Pope Boniface in 1302, belongs to or is subject to the pontiff, the Roman Catholic Church, because that's the Christian. And they gave it a Christian birthday, which is the Gregorian calendar, civil calendar birth. And then because it's civil, they're saying that, well, in all businesses, the civil calendar is the one used. Right. Because it's the Christian, it's the official within the within Roman Catholicism. It's the official. It's the office. It's Isaiah 9:6. Anyway.
It's amazing.
Well, it's going to take a while for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now I gave one example that it can go a long ways. And all you have to do is keep following it like an outline, because it does. It has the shape of an outline, and so you can keep going. And then of course, when it bumps back out, you realize that it lines up with something above it. But the last few pages, I'm gonna finish up with, because on page 589 it says end of author's exposition, which by the way still boggles my mind. I mean, I look at this thing and I'm going, everything's in it. With the exception of kitchen sink. Oh, wait a minute. Here's the definition of kitchen sink. I'm joking. So right after. So I have something leading up to our conversation, which is the transcribed conversation. I have something leading up to it, evidencing the Supreme Being, evidencing the monad, evidencing the zygote, evidencing your sovereignty. Which begins at fertilization. By the way, that zygote is a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece. It's the piece. It's the rock. It's the entirety from which you're going to carve out your existence, your legacy, your existence. Now. Page 589, right after that, I'm going out. I'm moving away from the book, and I'm evidencing a few things on my way out. I use Cruden versus Neal as the very first statement, the very first quote on the way out. Now, I've just described everything in this book as part of nature, from fertilization to last breath, from this zygote to this moment in time right now, the present, where I'm sitting in this chair. But on the back cover, it shows where they took this beached, this stranded boat, this stranded ark, the one that's stranded on the maternal island, the maternal part of the uterine wall, stranded on the wall. It's like Pink Floyd, their album, The Wall. Anyway, my boat's stranded by Gregorian calendar date. It's stranded. It's frozen in time. But in nature, that's an impossibility. Evolutionary due process of nature says I go from fertilization to this moment. I just keep going unless somebody arrests my progress, stops my forward progress. That's not me. If I know the truth, I can't. My forward progress keeps going. Nature keeps going. Evolution keeps going. But if they want me to go back there, turn my back on the present, and go back, like I talked about in the mirror, the image in the mirror, that birth certificated image in the past, I don't need to keep going back there every 365 days and becoming the infant subject to regency again. I don't need to go back there and let somebody else rule over or manage my affairs or my business.
Mm-hmm.
No. Fiction yields to truth. That needs to be the mantra from the living. Fictio sedet veritati. Fictions yield to truth. Yield. Yield. What does yield mean? What is yield?
Yeah. I give my opinion.
I'm going to Webster's, yeah. Yield, to submit, to bear or bring forth as a natural product, especially as a result of cultivation. To yield, that's a yield. Look at to produce or furnish as return. Well, that sounds like an annual birthday to go back to return to. It sounds like a return that you'd fill out for the IRS, but that's not necessary in reality. Yield. There it is right there. Number 2A, to surrender or relinquish to the physical control of another, to hand over possession of. To give oneself up to an inclination, temptation, or habit. To yield is to relinquish one's possession of something such as a position of advantage or point of superiority. Uh-uh. From fertilization to last breath, that's it. It's my kingdom. It says to relinquish one's possession of something such as a position of advantage or point of superiority. Supreme Being, my presence is superior to their narratives, their fictional narratives. Fictio sita veritati, fiction yields to truth. So if I'm telling the truth, then I'm sorry, that's the superior position. I'm not going to relinquish truth. To surrender or submit oneself to another. So, going back to Pruden. Pruden versus Neil. Everything I do, I'm aligning with nature, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aligning with nature. But remember that, and this is where people are going to get stuck too. They're going to go, well, Kurt, nature, blah, blah, blah. Wait a minute here. The nature of man is not the nature of the wolf. I have the ability to control my nature, to control my dog, to control my beast. I have it on a leash. It's called consciousness. I'm aware of what I'm doing. My dog's not off the leash. I have it under my control. The point is that man, we have the ability to control ourselves, but if we don't control ourselves, we're nothing more than animals. I mean, I can be a wolf, but be conscious, have that wolf under control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not so bad to have my wolf under control.
Mm-hmm.
But believe me, if all of a sudden you start threatening my family, I'm going to turn the dog loose, turn the wolf loose.
Mm-hmm.
Consciously. I'll make the decision to turn the dog loose. Consciously. He's not off the leash. But when you start threatening me or my family, the dog may be let go. It's called self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Pruden versus Neil is the first case I put up there because it says, every man is independent. There, in nature, there, every man is independent of all laws except those prescribed by nature. And let me tell you something. The law begins at fertilization for each and every one of us. The law begins there. It doesn't begin with some false narrative or some birth certificate of character. The law, the meaning Theo or God, Theos, the God's law begins at fertilization. And that's where your sovereignty is. That's where your innocence is located. To claim anything else is foolish. And remember that it's constantly evolving. So even though you start as a single cell, Linda, you're not a single cell now. You're not claiming infancy. You're not claiming incapacity. You're actually saying, listen, I started here and now I'm here. And evolutionary process is part of nature. And Cruden versus Neil says, hey, listen, we're not subject to any of the man-made laws, but we're definitely subject to the laws of nature. Next quote was self-preservation from Wikipedia. Self-preservation is a behavior or a set of behaviors that ensures the survival of an organism. Well, that's what we're trying to do here. I mean, believe me, when people are feeding you fluoride and they're spraying chemicals in your air that you breathe, forcing you to have mercury amalgams in your mouth, taking unknown quantities of product or things into your veins through vaccines, I mean, that doesn't seem like they have your best interest when everything is contrary to nature, including the cutting of the umbilical cord. Doesn't happen in nature. It's an act of violence. Next was the Declaration of Independence on the next page. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to move now back out. I've done all I could to evidence everything, but now I'm just using other people's words to say, yeah. The Declaration says, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America when in the course of human events, that sounds like fertilization, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. Political band, the bond. What's the only known bond that exists in nature that way, and that's the fetal maternal placenta that looks like you're still stuck on the mother's uterine wall. That's a bond. But that's also the thing that Pope Boniface claimed in 1302 through Unum Sanctum, saying that the human creature, that's the fetal maternal placenta, and that's the Christian that ties you to Rome. It says here, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which connected them with another. I'm sorry. Whatever you believe is fine as long as it doesn't interfere with my existence or nature. I'll stick with nature every time. Your belief system is outside of nature if you believe in all of these other things. It goes on to say, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. That has nothing to do with man-made nonsense. Next it says, naturae vis maxima, the force of nature is greatest. That's a law maxim, the force of nature. Listen, I mean, that's why fictio sedet veritati, fiction yields to truth. When you're lining up with truth, when you're aligning to truth, you have no enemies. That's my whole point here. There's no enemies to truth. There's contrary positions, which is everything but truth. So all you have to do is line up with truth and you have no enemies at all. By the way, do you have to prove nature, or are you nature?
I am nature.
Well, from fertilization to last breath, you're self-evident.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not self-evident if you claim a narrative, a false narrative, or the duality of the birth certificated person. That's not lining up with nature. That's man-made. And finally, and this is what I really wanted. I didn't know how to get here, but it happened almost automatically. At the top of this, it says laws of nature and nature's God. It says natural law is a system of law based on a close observation of human nature and based on values intrinsic to human nature that can be deduced and applied independently of positive law, which are the express enacted laws of a state or society. Look what it says here. Can be deduced and applied independently of positive law. According to the theory of law called just naturalism, all people have inherent rights conferred not by an act of legislation, but by God, nature, and reason. And then I put the definition of nature down below that. Humankind's original or natural condition. The zygote. That's nature. Next, it said natural, based on an inherent sense of right and wrong. Oh, my God. We all know what's right and wrong. We know taking other people's shit is wrong. We know it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Goes on to say, by the way, wrong also means to turn. It also means to a-turn. So anything a-turned is wrong. So what the hell are attorneys doing? Something wrong, as far as the definition is concerned. Because being in accordance with or determined by nature, having or constituting a classification based on features existing in nature, connected by direct genetic relationship rather than by adoption or marriage. Natural is biological. Then I put the definition of biological, of or relating to biology or to life and living process. And finally, life, the quality that distinguishes a vital and functional being from a dead body. That's the very last thing. All we're trying to do is let people know that we're not buying into the story, the novel ideas that they're coming up with. I mean, I don't know how else to do this, but these calls with you just get people to understand. You know, this book, there's so much in this. It'd take me a year to go through it, and I put it together.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all I have to say as well.
But once you know how it works, once you know how it works, Linda, and you can go, okay, I need to be looking, you know, at the conversation up front, because the conversation up front is just a conversation. It's just flowing from one idea to the next. If you take the back of the book, the exposition, and you just start reading it, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff in there. Eventually, you could pick anything. At 102.31, it says mind. You know what I mean? You can open this book anywhere. 102.32 says belief, a conviction of the truth of a proposition. Look at that, a belief. It says a conviction of the truth of a proposition. Something proposed is a belief. Nature doesn't give a shit about beliefs or about propositions. It is what it is. Objective reality is right out my window. But it's, you could open up this book to anywhere and just take one idea out of there and dig into it. Or you can go through the conversation with me and you and see where it takes you, because now all of a sudden you realize this simple conversation is much deeper than it appears to be for those with eyes to see. Yeah, it's crazy. I don't even like to pick it up because then I get lost in it for another couple hours. But, again, when I write letters that involve this information, I'm definitely going to note at the bottom of my letter, after I thumbprint author pacifist, I'm going to handwrite at the bottom of that. I'm just going to write in, you know, E First in Time, a Pacific transcription, you know, Library of Congress number this. You know what I mean? I'm going to use this in all of my letters.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, definitely.
I can't afford to give them away. I can't afford to send a letter, you know, a book out with every letter, but I certainly can connect my letters to the book.
It wouldn't be necessary to do that. It's up to them.
No. It is, and that's my point, is all you have to do is say, see, First in Time, a Pacific transcription. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is... Mm-hmm. I just wanted people to actually know how to actually use the book.
Yeah,
because it's not that difficult, but it can be if you don't know how it's laid out. I should have done that with Right of Way. I should have actually expanded Right of Way. But I didn't really know how to do that yet in a way that would make sense. This one here, it actually works perfectly anyway with First in Time. But anyway, that's all I got.
That's pretty amazing. Isn't there a court case for undue influence?
Yeah. I don't remember off the top of my head the best one.
Yeah.
But that's, again, undue influence to me. The birth certificated character, the infancy, is the problem. And it's the infancy that is causing them to look at you, you, the claimant, to look at you as an incompetent or somebody that doesn't have the capacity. And that's what people don't realize. It's the lack of capacity that the birth certificated person presumes. That's all. It's not a big deal. It's just we just have to want to grow up and be, you know, responsible and all that, whatever that means. But it, it's scary to look around and realize that everybody thinks everybody owes them something when in fact nobody owes you anything.
Right.
Anyway, all right. I think I'll put this up.
You can put it up on Buzzsprout.
I think so. And then I'll put a picture of the book or something on their front and back, so at least people can see the covers, if I can. But I think that's because that's kind of what this is all about, is that front and back cover.
Yeah.
All right, lady. Love you. Talk to you.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye.